Welcome to the next 8-4 Play podcast.
My chair made a fart noise.
Good start.
Your newest, latest...
It's better than a real one.
Fake fartiest podcast about Japan games and Japanese games. I am your host, Mark Gamages McDonald. We have a pretty good show, I think.
Pretty good show.
Pretty good. Back to form show this week. We have another special guest, but before we get to that, and then a few big games that a few people here are pretty excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to that, quick introductions. To my right, stage left, that is JJ Deep Deep Saitama Epperson.
dirty Saitama is what we call
Dirty Saitama, okay.
Is that your special move?
Dirty, yeah. Yes.
It's my wrestling finisher.
Across from him, in the middle, between two Johns, that is Sarah Girls Mode Podzorski.
Woo. What am I supposed to say about
Sarah,
that?
Sarah, I thought we talked about...
Did
be
we?
Aggressive. Be
what am I?
Aggressive.
Girls
this podcast.
Mode. Yeah.
John's not going to be here for
because
the
we're
whole
girls.
Podcast.
We're talking about girls mode. It's really fun.
All right. So, this 15 years ago, that would have brought the fucking house down.
Yeah, well, you know, we're bringing it back.
Okay. You're going to have to bring it because John Limited Edition Ricciardi. I think I might have called you that before. Yeah.
Possibly.
When you bought some other crazy, ridiculous limited edition something or other.
Right.
Is going to be leaving us after talking about Xenoblade Chronicles X,
woo-hoo!
Which is Cross. The limited edition which you bought. I'm sorry, Cross.
That's right. This is Japan. It's
That's
Cross.
Right. Tell me quickly about limited edition.
Tell you about
it. I like the pictures. It made me quite jealous. See all the stuff that came out.
It's pretty freaking awesome looking. It's actually not... I mean, the box is actually probably the coolest thing about it. It's just the game and a Wii U set, like, together with a couple of cool things included. But, like, they're not, like... It's not the end of the world, like, coolest thing in the world. It's, like, an art book, which is really nice. Really, really nice. But that's it. That's, like, the core thing. It's also got, like, a fold-out map, which... it's cool, but, like, it's just a piece of paper folded out. It's not, like, a
You're
cloth map
that
or anything.
Shit on your bedroom wall?
No.
Really?
No, unfortunately. But the book is really cool.
Is the game pre-installed
awesome.
Or is it disc?
No, it's disc. Okay. Yeah, and it comes
there
with like
go.
A it comes
That's
with a
good.
Point card, 1,000 yen eShop card too.
Nice.
The, the box for the thing is awesome. I tweeted it and it went nuts. Like people are really interested.
I think you were the first person on Twitter to actually
Probably.
Have gotten it. Mm-hmm. Wait,
yeah,
so the price for it was 35,000 yen?
Yeah.
Which is about, with the exchange rate now, like $300.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And a regular Wii U, is this a 32 gig Wii U?
It's 32 gig black Wii U, and then the normal ones are only a little bit less. The only other 32 gig Wii U you can get in Japan is the Mario Kart one, which is like $30 cheaper than this.
Which is like $32,000.
Yeah.
And so separately, this would have cost more like $350, like it would have cost...
Probably. More. Xenoblade's an expensive game. It's like... 8,000 yen.
I
or
paid
something,
7,900.
Yeah, that's
so
like 75.
Roughly
what,
70
bucks. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good deal.
For the digital version, even.
And then rounding out the cast, that is Toma, Party House, Ribble.
Party House?
Yeah, Party House.
I want to hear you say Party House.
Whatever happened to predictability? The paper
the
boy,
milkman, the paper boy, and evening TV.
Evening TV. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm singing, but I remember the lyrics.
Yes.
What are we singing?
That is the theme song from a show called Full House, right? Which apparently in France is called Party House.
Really?
Yeah.
There were no parties going on in that house.
No.
Every fucking day was a party in that house. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean,
a couple,
there was
DJ drama, man.
A couple of weeks ago, someone, you know, all the news stories went out about how there's like a revival coming on Netflix or whatever, with like a few of them, not like all of them or whatever. But then, for whatever reason, one of the sites that posted about it posted a link to like the final scene of the series.
Oh,
and it's
there was a final scene.
Boringest thing ever. Yeah, it's just like a regular ending to a regular Full House with like them going to the prom or something, and then like. That's it. The series over.
And then they come out and take a bow or whatever.
I didn't see that part, but they didn't show it. No, it was just like really for such a, you know, a show known for its amazing endings.
Yes, for its cliffhanger, season ender, double suicides, and like who's gonna die next intrigue. Well, so was this show popular? It was popular in Japan.
That's right.
It
you know, it came on the TV in the morning, and, you know, kids were looking at it usually on Wednesday morning, but mm-hmm. that's about it. So that's how I heard about it.
You know, on Wednesday.
So.
But you mean you're not a fan? Because France has a storied sense of humor.
Yeah, but
I mean... The whole Jerry Lewis thing.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis is something special. It's like Jerry Lewis, Jim Carrey... Yeah, it's
Jim
like...
Carrey. Oh, wait, Jim Carrey
is huge in France. Level? Yeah, it's
it
like...
It kind of makes a weird sort of sense. I was like, yeah, physical comedy.
Yeah, he's super funny, and like people really like him, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so.
Is David Hasselhoff big there, or is that only
That's
Germany?
No, he was there when the wall fell, John.
I know.
That's important.
Pieces.
But are there any... Are there that any means something. American celebrities that are particularly... popular in France, like a David Hasselhoff is to Germany? What is France's David Hasselhoff? Do you know what I mean? Like, the guy from Silk Stockings or something, for some reason, is, like, huge in France, or...
No, the only one I can think of is basically Jerry Lewis and Jim Carrey were okay. really, really...
Well, Jim Carrey's not really popular anymore.
No.
Yeah, now he's kind of a has-been, but, you know, when he was at his peak, it was like, oh, my God,
he's
Jim
a
Carrey.
Serious actor now.
JJ, did you ever meet him when your grandfather...
No, and the sad story was when, you know, my grandpa got me all the signatures of all the people... from In Living Color, his was the only one that was missing. I got...
Because he refused to...
Oh, your grandfather worked on Living Color?
Yeah, he did. He was the technical director.
That's JJ's claim to one of JJ's.
His grandfather is Damon Wayans.
I got what's her name? Jennifer Lopez's...
When she was the queen bee of the Fly Girls,
yeah.
Wow.
But no, quote James Carey.
That might be worth like dollars.
Yeah,
wow.
Like actual
$3.
Out of control.
Like the Lopez.
Well, rounding out the cast and saving the show after John has to leave, taking it, putting it on his shoulders, and going to carry it across the threshold. That is the face of Q Games, the new face of Q Games.
The
power behind the throne that is Bit Summit, and the only person maybe the only non-Japanese person still playing Monster Hunter Frontier, Mr. John Davis.
What's up?
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
How's it going? You got out of the house.
I'm out of the house, man. I'm so happy.
You are you have two full-time jobs.
Yes.
One is as the producer / community man at Kyoto-based Q Games.
Yes, sir.
A friend of the show, Dylan Cuthbert's little company.
We have to have him on sometime.
You might have heard of. Yeah, we do. Make that happen.
I will.
All right. Mm. And
that's what I do.
And
I make things happen.
And job number two, which is keeping you perhaps even busier these days, is as a fairly new dad.
Yeah, John and I, we adopted.
Yeah. Little Damon.
That's little cool. Damon. Little D.
I didn't even call him. That here.
No.
So you and JJ were talking earlier about...
Dad stuff.
Yeah, dad stuff.
Diaper stories.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel, you know, that's my whole existence now is that. And I feel like I'm probably boring. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm boring the shit out of everyone who's not, doesn't have children.
I know how that feels.
JJ does it all the time.
I got nothing but baby stories to tell and nobody to tell them to.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. You need exposure.
Warnings. They're not stories. They're warnings.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Be careful.
Yeah. Have you
Wrap
determined
it up.
A... Obviously, your daughter is way too young to be even thinking about video games at this point, but in my mind, most of my friends that have kids, there's like two things that they deal with that they think about that would be relevant to the audience of this podcast. One is Star Wars and how you're going to expose her to that or not.
That's very important.
Depending on it. That's one. And the other is video games and whether you're going to limit it or whether it's going to be encouraged or whether you're going to try to get them into the same games you are, whether, like JJ, you're going to buy demos and pretend that they're full games.
Yo,
scarring
pro
children
tips.
Later for life. That is a pretty good tip, I think, honestly. Yeah. But have you given this any thought at all yet? Or
she's about to turn 9 months. And of course, you know, that's something, like, since I have a daughter, like, I wonder how that works, you know, because as a guy, I mean, as, you know, I feel like my parents just threw Transformers and stuff at me, right?
Yeah.
And it was okay.
Ninja Turtles.
And I'm totally fine with doing that for my daughter, because I don't, you know, like, fine, you know, whatever. But
you turned out good. Right?
But I worry that my wife and her sisters will try to, like,
uh-oh.
You know... influence her with Japanese girl stuff, which I don't like.
Right.
So I have to try to figure out how to counter that, you know, with like the Justice League and like, you know, lightsabers.
Comics and
give
stuff
her
like that
a kind of more rounded view of nerddom.
You're also big into Western comics.
Yeah.
These days, what are you into? What are the books that people should be reading these days?
I'm reading Hickman's Avengers run. I've started like with the Infinity stuff that they did a couple of years ago, and just kind of just wrapped it up. I'm still a few books behind. I'm not as like caught up as like Cormac and those guys.
Is that helping you get ready for the movie, or is that just more like you just got Avengers fever right now, sort of thing?
Nah, I don't really think it's not really. I mean, since those universes are kind of separate, it's good to have kind of a better idea of what, you know, what the characters are, mm-hmm. where they are in the universe, like as far as like the creators, like which is how we think, you know, this is Captain America now, or
right.
It's good to get a kind of a grasp of that, but it doesn't really tie in together.
Mm.
well, I mean, Marvel Comics, like, it's kind of silly, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, when I read, you know, big, you know, long epics like the, you know, Hickman's Avengers run right now, it just feels kind of it doesn't feel like it does justice to, like, comics, the form doesn't do justice to the stories and the characters that they have as much as I would want. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like an epic, you know, fantasy sci-fi read, you know, guy,
right.
So
right.
I read thousands and thousands of pages of something and it's not enough.
Right.
So when I get a 20-page comic and the action sequence is like two panels.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel a little bit left, you know, a little
the form, I mean, well, especially
parched.
Now that people are getting, like, in TV and in movies, like, actual quality comic book stuff, like, arguably.
Yeah.
I think it kind of diminishes when you're just getting these, like, tiny little comic books. Let me ask you, is the original Infinity Gauntlet stuff, is that stuff worth, like, big money now or going to be worth big money? Because that's back when I read comic books.
I don't think so. I think most of the comics from the 90s are pretty much not worth anything.
Not worth shit.
I have tons of comics that
they did a lot of runs of those comics.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If they became a collector, like self-consciously collector, when they started doing the like different covers of stuff specifically for collectors, and that kind of ruined it.
Got out of hand.
I still have a box in my
attic.
I
still say it all went downhill when they killed Superman. That was right around the point where I was like, okay,
that was dumb.
You guys are just getting too dumb for me. I have tons of comics from that era that were actually really valuable a couple of years after I got them that probably are worth nothing now, but it really bums me out. Like the original Secret Wars and all that stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all,
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars is 80s, though. That's worth something.
Yeah, that's
I have a whole ton of 80s stuff. I collected comics myself at the time, and then I had this friend of the family. I was just super lucky. Like, he just, like, decided he was giving up comics, and he gave me, like, two huge boxes of, like, tons of comics, and they were, like, in the plastic, in the cardboard, like, and everything. So, like, I inherited a ton of awesome stuff.
Real quick, take your pulse on one thing before we're going to get into I want to get into Xenoblade, but that new Joker thing.
What's the new Joker?
The picture of the new Joker.
Jared Leto.
Did you see him?
No, I didn't see it.
Tattoos. No. Were you on the internet for like the last...
No. I'm not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That says a lot right there. It's like, holy shit, man. You are like burning a candle at both ends.
I did see something like about a tattoo, though. Like what...
But the tattoos aren't part of the character, they confirmed, so...
Oh, really?
Then why would they put them in?
Why are they in there?
Because they're backpedaling.
They might be backpedaling, it's hard to tell,
It's horrible, you'll see it, you'll be like, what is this garbage? They actually did one of Ben Affleck, did you see
that? Oh yeah, it says I'm Batman.
It's like, I am the Bat, or I am the Knight, or something tattooed on his head. Anyway, it's like a very literal reading, kind of what the Joker would look like if he was, like, a limp... Biscuit roadie.
Mike McWhorter compared it to the lead singer of Buckcherry.
All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That kind of gives you a feel for... But, I mean, what do you do with that? I thought...
Where were the tattoos?
I don't think it's real. I mean, I know they're backpedaling, and that's like
that's
the...
damaged.
But it has, like, the Joker's laugh. Like, the ha-ha-ha.
It was
like the trademark
smile
thing.
It was like smile on his
That wouldn't make any sense in any world.
All right, well, we're not a
comic
podcast. Thank God. We are a video game podcast. And so, John, we're going to let you talk about Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Cross, man.
Cross. X.
No Chronicles either. This is Japan. It's Xenoblade Cross.
Before we let you go, so you have your...
JJ got it, too.
$300. Yep. JJ has it, too.
Yes.
But you bought another... Is the Wii U itself different?
No.
It's not.
No.
So it just comes with the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. That's kind of... lame.
It is a little lame. I was kind of hoping that it would be something nice on it.
You have to like, keep the box.
They gotta offload those things.
I'm gonna be out of town for like 2 months on a business trip, yes. and my girlfriend like uses the Wii all the time to watch Hulu, Japanese Hulu.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was more of like if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have gotten the second thing. But
you got it because you're like she's still gonna be wanting to play Hulu. I'm gonna be playing a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles.
Gotta do something for two.
And you're
months.
Gonna take this with you to play
the game.
Hell
yeah, man! Okay. What else am I gonna do?
You can play it on the plane if you got an AC adapter.
I don't think I'm gonna go that far.
Jerry Pear style.
You can.
Yes.
Okay.
You
that's one nice thing about the Wii U.
Explain this to me.
Because all you need for a Wii U is an AC adapter for the
you just
the
gotta plug it in. Because you can use the gamepad as your screen.
What am I plugging it into?
The wall.
The wall.
The plane.
You know planes have plugs.
Like some planes have the electrical outlet. Have you been on?
No.
Okay, yeah. It's rare, though. It is rare. It's pretty rare. It's a rare magical thing.
Unless you're CBS.
International flights usually have them.
What's the new one? The Dreamliners have them. Dreamliners have them in every seat.
What?
Yeah.
I've seen they have the USB plug.
Yeah, I've seen the USB.
But not the actual electrical outlet.
Maybe it was business class.
Trust
me. I've never paid for business class, but I did get upgraded once or twice, so it might have been that.
So you got it, and it went on sale here this week in Japan, right before the Golden Week holidays. And their campaign here is pretty interesting, too. It's like, on the weekends, like, go to this crazy world. It's basically saying, this is a huge, epic thing. You're going to spend a lot of time here. The timing came out basically right before almost a week of holidays that most people get.
Yep.
And so it's like really good timing, but
it's like releasing right before Christmas break or something. Like every kid and adult more or less has like this week off for like a week straight. So it's perfect timing.
How far are you guys? And what are you thinking so far?
Basically? I'm not far because I'm super busy with work. But I'm like maybe 3 hours, 4 hours in.
Okay, I'm not even that far. I'm about maybe 2 hours in.
Just came out yesterday as of when we're recording this.
I would have been much further if my controller worked.
Yes, you threw a little rage. I saw
your Twitter tragedy.
Twitter rage was in full effect.
It was.
Because it's Haruki's fault, right? You probably like
no, because you know what? The morning I went on the field trip with Haruki, it worked, and then when I got home, it didn't work. And I know Toma's not. He's not rolling over anything. And my wife is very careful. It just stopped working.
So
maybe she didn't want you to play.
Well,
yeah, maybe.
See, that would be the first thing I thought. Like,
see, my wife is nice about it. She likes playing games too.
So the Wii U game, to be clear, your Wii U gamepad stopped working.
The touchscreen stopped responding.
Oh, so it works. It's just the touchscreen functionality
of
it doesn't
which
work.
Is a pretty big deal because everything uses touch.
Right. So not to spend a whole lot of time on this, you still cannot. This is the second time this has happened to you.
Yeah, the first time was our fault. Haruki threw it, and the screen broke.
Right,
but this time, the touchscreen just inexplicably stopped working.
Blame
this happened. This also happened on my old 3DS too. It just stopped working for no reason.
You need to stop playing with barbecue fingers or something.
No, you have two very young children.
One that can't move.
Yes,
the other who is. To Haruki's credit, he puts all his games back in the proper boxes.
Okay. I don't even do that.
Yeah, he's very, very good about that kind
of thing. Okay, I'm sure. Okay. He's grown up a lot since that first...
That means that he can cover up the crime.
That's
he's very careful.
That's right.
He could be. But no, I have proof. He has an alibi of being with me the whole day
The interesting part of this to me was that they did announce a price for buying the Wii U controller separately... Right.
At launch
in Japan, I think only.
Yeah,
and then but that still has not come out. So you couldn't. Your only recourse is to. Well, what did you do? You basically went out and said, "Okay, I'll buy a pro controller."
I will. Yeah, I went out and I bought a pro controller, thinking this would solve my problem because Xenoblade Cross supports the pro controller. Came home, started the game, very excited. Please enter in your name. Like the screen comes up and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I start
using
my pro controller. You cannot use the controller at all. You have to use the touch screen.
Huh.
It's fucked up because like you can exit the menu by pressing B, but you cannot confirm by pressing A. A does nothing. It is fucking stupid.
Okay, well, listen, eventually you're an edge case, 99.99%.
Nintendo just needs to sell the controller in stores.
Okay, well, I would agree with that. I mean, it's weird that there is no possible way. Especially, did they ever release any games that used
no.
the second?
No, that's no. why they that's why it's not that. For sale. I think if they did,
but
they would put them on sale.
But they should put it on sale in cases like this where like it gets lost, it gets stolen.
But they're so rare, and it costs money to like put things on shelves.
That's right, JJ.
Shelf space is expensive. JJ.
It's just a fucking controller. At any rate,
it's a big ass controller, man.
Yeah, it is. But at any rate, last night I figured it out and
USB
like
keyboard.
Yeah, USB keyboard. I was like, Boom. Oh fuck, I could probably do that, and Boom. I did it and it worked, and now I can play the game.
Boom.
Unfortunately, I have to use like Haruki's cracked out red guy with green hair, but that's okay.
Oh, he made yeah. your creative.
Well, that's funny because the first one had like this big ass purple butterfly tattoo on his face.
Yeah, what is that? John showed me a comic book or Japanese comic that was translated into English. So the start of the game, you arrive in like a pod, and your custom created character is discovered by like other characters in the game.
Yeah.
And they open the pod and they like rescue you.
But in the comic,
it opens and the guy has like some stupid fucking tattoo on his
face. There's like a panda face.
Yeah, it was a panda face actually. And she looks at it and then she like pushes him back in the pod and shuts the pod. And the person is saying like, "Wait, I'm awake, I'm alive." And she shuts the pod and walks and goes on with the rest.
Yeah,
of the
there's some weird choices for like facial things in that game.
It's pretty. It seemed your guy actually, I thought looked John. Your custom created character that you tweeted, I thought looked better than some of the characters that they've shown.
I purposely went for the like non Bratz doll look. Like I basically because if you pick an older guy. They have like normal looking eyes. If you pick, I don't know if this character designer style, Kunihiko Tanaka, who's actually really famous in Japan, which I think is why they used him. He did Xenosaga and Xenogears. Actually, I assume it's a he. Is it a he? It is a he, right?
Let's just say it's
yeah. Anyway, style is very famous.
Wait, did you say his name?
Kunihiko.
That's a guy.
Yeah, big glassy eyes and is like the thing. And but for whatever reason, if you choose older people, they don't have that. So I just took the old guy and then like basically modified him a bunch. And the customization options are really cool.
Yeah, like, it looked like
they are
not as deep as Bloodborne. You can't like.
But Bloodborne, like, no matter what you do, your guy looks like an ugly piece of shit.
Yes.
Like, there's no way to have a good looking character.
But I want
to
be able to.
Aren't you going to be looking at his back like most of the time?
I want to be able.
Also true.
In cutscenes, you see their face.
You
did see their face.
One really cool thing about this game is pretty much 90% of the cutscenes I've seen show you in what you're wearing, so you could you can make a screwed up looking character
time
and like
of day.
Be in your underwear if you want, and that's what shows up in the cutscenes. Yeah. And you can move the camera during the cutscenes and everything, so it's pretty cool.
From some of the live streams, I love how like there could be a very serious moment in the game, and everybody's like wearing like bathing suits.
A lot of Miiverse posts in Japan are like people in their underwear, just like behind people. It's like they set the camera up so you can see them in their underwear behind like the main characters while like cutscenes are happening. It's pretty like they're photobombing it.
Okay,
it's pretty amazing.
So so how's the game treating you so far?
I think how excited I was for this game. I like basically pre-ordered that shit months ago, but like I think it's awesome, like because I love the first Xenoblade.
Yeah,
and the stuff that really intrigued me about this, beyond just the fact that it's like a bigger, better Xenoblade,
sure,
is the sort of the kind of mingle player stuff, you know, like
right.
the passive online they're calling it, like
which I felt like I hadn't heard as much about until
no one really explained it.
Yeah, when you got the game, and that was the first thing that you started telling me about, I was like, huh, I haven't really heard. I heard people excited about like the scale of the game,
yeah,
and I heard people excited about like the mechs and like seeing some pretty awesome like gifs, but I had not heard about people being excited about the online.
I haven't gotten to the online yet, but could you explain a little bit of what it is?
Hit us with it.
It takes a little while. What'd you say?
Hit me with it.
I'll hit you with it. I'll hit you with it hard. It takes a little while to get it open. You have to clear a few story chapters in the game. But once you unlock it, you basically... It's like a... It's basically you can join a squad is what they call it. It says like join the squad when you turn the game on and like pick one.
Yeah.
And you can either like join up with your friends, like if your friends are already in a squad, you can join their squad, or you just the game will randomly set you up with someone else. And squads are basically 32
your friends, meaning like
people on your friend list.
Your friend list. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like basically everyone on GAF, like we all like kind of just dropped our names in the topic and then we're all like
oh, cool.
friends with each other. So
I need to do that. Okay.
Yeah. And it puts you in a squad with 32 players and it's really, really awesome because you, I mean, it's
this
weird.
Is a separate, you go into like a separate mode. or like arena?
No, this is the main game. You're playing the regular game.
Okay.
And while you're playing the regular game, you're not like see. It's like Dark Souls. You're not like seeing these people running around and stuff. You'll see them in the lobby if you go to the network lobby. Mm-hmm. And there are apparently some features where you can go out on 4-player quests together, like PSO and stuff. But like I haven't seen any of that yet, so I don't really know much about it. But besides that, just the passive stuff, like. You'll be playing your game, and whenever anyone in your quest gets an achievement, in your squad, I mean, gets an achievement, it pops up in the corner of the screen. So, like, you're seeing what achievements, and there are, like, 700-something achievements in this game. So, like, you're seeing what people are doing constantly. Like,
is there
you're
a reason to be getting achievements in the game itself?
Probably. I imagine you
I noticed
stuff.
That I was getting a lot of achievements.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even know.
You did the thing, and then it's like, okay.
Start.
You did another
every
thing.
Every story chapter, too. It's not like you get one achievement for clearing the story chapter. Yeah. It's like, you know, chapter one... 20% complete achievement, you know, chapter 1, 40% complete achievement. Yeah, it's like progress, tracking your progress.
Is it like real time? So when they're playing, it'll pop up and you'll see, okay.
Exactly.
That might be annoying, man.
It's actually pretty cool because
it's cool 3 hours in.
Well, you don't really know that when something comes up,
it's not intrusive. It's like up in the corner basically, but it's like it makes you really feel like you're just in this world with tons and tons of people, but they're not all over the place bothering you or slowing down your game or like an MMO, you know what I mean?
But how is it different from like just getting notifications from someone's achievement like on Xbox Live or something? I mean, they can't.
Do you do that though? Like I don't get notifications on other people's achievements.
I mean, you don't. Well, you know, you see achievements. I guess when you log into the PS4, you see like whatever other people are doing.
Right.
This is more like just like I don't know. It gives you. So they talked about in the Iwata asks. This is related, but they talked about in the Iwata asks, which went up already, which is crazy.
I was really surprised to see the English one went up.
One of the guys who worked on the game talked about the director Ko Kojima, who directed Baten Kaitos Origins and the first Xenoblade, and he basically had this thing where he was talking about how like I'm gonna screw it up because I don't have it in front of me, but he was essentially talking about how like they were struggling with like, you know, the whole online thing in Japan, right? Mm-hmm. Where like people are like kind of afraid to be completely, you know, bare in front of everyone else here, like in online stuff, and they were trying to find ways to make it passive but enjoyable. And
people
he was talking about
the players are uncomfortable,
right? Yeah, right. And they settled on the system where, you know, you kind of can feel that there's tons of players around and doing stuff, but you're not always like being kind of jumped on by them. And I actually really like that. And so the achievements was just one small part of that, but like another thing is like there are these things called I forget what they're called, squad quests maybe, where like there are like these five icons that will just pop up on the bottom right of the screen while you're playing, and it's like enemy icons or item icons. You have to like look at them to see what they are, and everyone in your squad is basically assigned with, you don't have to do this, it's just like if you want to, but like it's killing those things. So like let's say like it's just like, you know, it's got an icon of like a spider and it's like 25 or something, and then there's a time limit above it, and if your squad kills 25 spiders between all of you, all 32 of you throughout the world in that time limit, you all get rewards.
And that sounds awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool. And like idea. I didn't realize, I mean, I
like
had actually
bounties.
Read about
they're
that
like time yeah. based little bounties.
Okay, I was totally like going to play this game solo, but I need to get on the online.
You need a squad.
It's great.
Like, you need a squad.
It doesn't even like, I know when I'm explaining it too, I don't even know if it sounds as cool as it is, but like when I'm playing it, I'm constantly looking at that thing and thinking like, oh man, there's 20 minutes left in the timer. And there's not that many enemies left. If we go out and search for these guys, like you got to go out and hunt and find them. The world is gigantic.
Yeah.
But like if you go out and find them and get them, you're gonna like clear the squad.
Is your reward proportional to the amount of work you do?
I don't know because I haven't cleared any yet. I just got to the online stuff before I had to stop playing.
It's kind of hard because I guess you're probably on a squad with people in an American time zone.
Why in American
probably
time
all
zone?
Over the place.
Well, I mean, if it's GAF, it's probably mostly American.
Oh, I mean, it's most of the people playing are GAF people in Japan anyway. So
well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So
yeah.
This is the thing you were doing where you were just leaving the game on.
Yeah, so I left my game on while I was working so that, like, at least this, I could, if the squad, I could see like, the squad stuff getting solved and getting rewards for it.
But wait, are you not getting it? Are you not part of the squad unless you're online kind of thing, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's like a lobby.
Wait, do you have to, like, kill something? Or can you just, like, literally just sit?
You literally just sit.
I was just sitting there letting other people do the work.
And you were
fair,
getting something from
I think I got some stuff. Yeah, okay. I got rewards, but
so
keep
what
that
about
ratio, man.
What about the single player? You've only played a few hours, but so far
super epic. Like the music is amazing. If you played the first Xenoblade, you kind of know what to expect.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, I had it on all day yesterday, so the music is very ingrained in my head. It's yeah, it's very much like the first game where, you know, it's just sort of this super epic, like you can see a million miles away and you can go there if you want to,
right.
World. Graphics are amazingly beautiful. I agree the characters look kind of weird, but like
derpy,
you get over that pretty quickly because the enemies look amazing and the world itself looks amazing.
The enemies seem to look cool. And then that was
weather effects are amazing. It just starts raining all like a torrential rain all of a sudden. It feels so like realistic.
Does John make me want to buy a Wii U, man?
Dude, you gotta play this game. I was thinking about you when I saw when you were like talking. I saw you on Twitter yesterday saying how you were like getting stir crazy with just like work and baby work, and I was thinking you need to get Xenoblade and
escape into the wide frontier.
There was so many people told me that they were like, "Yeah, let's go play something together online."
Yeah,
like, dude, I need to get away from this monitor in front of beer.
The battle system is very much based on the first game's battle system, but they've got this thing called the Soul Voice system where the people in your party are talking to you, like
voice.
You know, voice
another
acting,
show
like,
my grandpa worked on, by the way.
Soul Voice,
Soul Train,
yeah.
Soul
really?
Train.
Yeah.
I thought conductor? You were going to say Coming to America.
Technical.
Soul Glow,
let your soul glow, let it flow so simple, smooth.
Sorry.
So John,
I'm enjoying this. The battle system, So these the characters will yell stuff out to you. You have two ways of fighting in this game.
Heal me.
Melee, you know, like up close with your sword.
Right.
Well, I got a long sword in my most recent class, or from afar with like a gun. And
there are other weapons like shields.
Yeah, I changed my class once. My first class just had like a knife and a crossbow or whatever. My second class had a longsword, like Monster Hunter style, and like a, you know.
Do you have any big robots yet?
No, I think that's probably not for a while.
I read some spoilers.
But they'll say stuff. They will call out to you and say, like, you know, use your melee arts or use your you know, ranged arts or whatever. And like, if you use them, you'll get bonuses in battle. They'll like get healed if you pull it off properly. And a little circle appears on the screen, like in the first game. And if you tap,
it's a good way to make you very like active and attentive to what's going on. Because otherwise,
you don't want to just sit there. You can't just sit there and mash buttons. You have to look at this because while
are
they're
you moving
saying,
your guy around at the same time too. Does it matter where you are on the screen?
Position in Xenoblade is always like a big thing.
Okay.
Like different attacks work if you're on the behind enemies or on the side of enemies.
Okay.
And,
that's kind of cool.
And like it's visual too. Like they're calling out to you, but they might say like use this kind of art, and sometimes I can't even understand it because I don't, the Japanese is like pretty dense, but like they're just like use this kind of art, but it'll also the on your arts palette, the thing in front of you with like all the different arts you have will like the like the green one will, for example, like glow if that's the kind of art they said. So you'll see it visually too. Oh, I'm supposed to use that.
Oh, okay.
If you get there in time and use it, and
so if you
have
the game muted, you can still
It'd be a little harder, but
totally. You just pay attention to the colors. You can also customize those lines that they say to, like, if you like, if you have a character who like has a whole bunch of like melee art or melee whatever, like lines that they say, but you want someone who's more like, you know, ranged, you can kind of insert the ranged quotes in there to balance them out.
Yeah, there's a lot of customization.
Weren't you saying that you chose like Osaka Ben for your
So your avatar, there are you can assign a voice to them because, you know, during battle there's silent protagonists in game, but in battle they speak.
Okay.
And they have like
weird
10 or so voices, and they range from like what was one? It was
military guy. I took military guy.
There's like military guy. I did the Osaka guy, who just like sounds like, you know, some like hooligan in the middle of like
I don't
Osaka
know how to frame
street.
That yet, but it's like basically I guess the equivalent would be like, not saying that Osaka sounds like southern accent, but the equivalent would be like you being like a guy in New York and then suddenly choosing a guy from the, you know, from like Georgia, not even like worse than Georgia.
But see, I think
that worse than Georgia.
Yeah,
but accent wise,
Alabama.
You know what I'm talking about
Alabama.
Go,
all right,
Alabama.
Mississippi.
Hey,
yeah,
there you go.
But yeah, it's super cool.
I think Alabama's the worst.
I really wish I could just like take 2 weeks off and play it. It's that kind of game. Like it feels like it
seems like you would need at least 2 weeks. Like it seems like one of those games where it's like
so
you're just gonna get lost.
Yeah, it's funny because when you start the game, you're like in this little forested area, and then you make it out, and then they make you walk
like
to the main
like
town, in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But like I spent so much time on the road. It's like a very short road.
New LA.
I spent so much time just getting to there, like fighting things, looking around, like, hey, what's over there? Like,
but, and they said as part of that, Iwata asks, like, Xenoblade Chronicles was kind of like this, where you could, if you could see it, mostly you could get there.
Yeah.
But this game, they're just like, nope. If you see it, you can get there, and stop.
Right.
The full world.
And the traversal the whole thing is really fun. Like, you turn on the run button, you run really fast in this game.
Yeah.
But also, I guess because the planet doesn't, the gravity is different or something, like, you jump.
That's what I was gonna say. It feels like Crackdown, actually. It reminds me of Crackdown, so the way you jump.
Like, I was thinking like Track and Field for NES when you like use a game genie hood and you just like fucking jump forever.
Well, if you push in the left stick, you can run. Which I didn't find out till like 2 hours in. I was like, glad to start using that. But if you push in the left stick, you can run. And there's like this part where you're leaving the town where you go down like a long ramp, and if you run from the top of the ramp. And then you jump. You just jump like it feels like a mile. It feels like Crackdown. It's awesome. Awesome. It's so cool.
What else?
Super awesome.
Anything else? Sounds pretty positive. You're gonna keep playing it. Well, yeah, I'm gonna take it with you.
Play the crap out of it.
JJ, you're obviously
yes.
Golden. So you still want me to bring in the gamepad?
Please.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Because I think I'm probably going to send it back to Nintendo tomorrow. So.
Cool. What does the gamepad have on it that you wouldn't get if you were just using the?
There's a mini map where you can see. It's like this. I guess it's a hexagonal grid of
places. Yeah, they call hexagonal. They call them segments in the game.
Segment. Yeah, that's right. You're right. There's these segments where you go to the segment and you drop a probe, and that probe will like make money for you and allow you to jump from... Watch it. it'll allow you to like kind of quick jump to that area.
They frame the game as you are basically like exploring this new planet, and you're because it's unexplored, you're essentially like laying out these probes he was talking about to kind of get a lay of the land. Like, imagine like you're building out the map or something for the first time. Like, you just discovered America and you gotta like map it or whatever. And so by planning those things throughout these different what I call them segments, you're basically like you know expanding the map and then getting new things. Like, it's not always just putting probes down. Sometimes it's just like if you touch the touchscreen, it'll tell you what you have to do in that particular segment to like I don't know, clear it, I guess. And then if you like, it might be like you gotta complete this quest and you gotta plant the probe and you got to do something else, and then if you do that, your percentage, you're like I don't know what you call it, like it's just completion, like your exploration percentage goes up.
Okay.
And so I think the idea is probably to like get that, you know, to explore the whole, you know, planet or whatever.
Cool. Well, yeah, because you're new. Like, I remember from the E3 thing last year, you basically crash land on a planet.
Yep.
And then this is you like exploring the planet.
Yeah.
The
planet. Crash land with a panda pat tattoo.
That's right.
So like, you left Earth with the panda.
They kicked you out of.
Welcome to Earth. The tattoo removal guy died on the ship.
That's right. He was in the other ship. All right. Well, cool. Let's see other games. John, let's talk. You're our special guest. What games have you been playing? I know what you've been playing. You've been playing fucking Monster Hunter Frontier.
HR 7000 by now.
I just went back to start playing that again, like about 2 months ago.
Are your friends still? Are the people that you played with still playing it?
No. I play with Scott Popular and another friend.
Of the show, Scott Popular.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys are. Are you using the same character as you used like years ago, or did you start?
Yeah, same character.
So what's your HR?
My HR is I'm like 899.
Jesus Christ! That's what I thought.
You rank up really fast because when I started playing, like 2 months ago, my character from 5 years ago when I first played was like HR 130.
So you went up 700 HRs in the last couple months?
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
And they have this thing called SR now for your weapons.
Okay. Right.
So your
what does
skill,
that stand for?
It's a skill rank.
Okay.
Because if you get up to SR 500, you get like new moves and shit like that.
Well, they've changed all this around. It used to be that once you got the HR 500, then you could start doing SR for your weapons. And then it unlocks new skills and new moves and stuff for the weapons. But they reduced it to 300.
Okay.
And they did this campaign where they had, you know, they gave everybody like 5 times more experience or something. And they give boosts now, like experience boosts, like which you'll get for like 100 minutes. So you can chain all
randomly,
this stuff.
Or
is
you,
it like
or
per
you,
day, per 24
it's
hours?
It's like,
cycle
a, I think
or
it's like per month you get one. But okay. Every time you rank up, you like from like, say, 499 to 500 or something.
Right.
On your resets. HR. It gives you another one.
Yeah.
So you can time it.
Right.
And so you just chain boost, and that's how I went from, you know, 130 to like 800.
Jesus. So
it sounds like the balls in Dragon. I forget what they're called, but the lucky balls, whatever they call them in Dragon Quest.
A lot of games have some kind of system like that.
It's fun, though. It's a really good idea.
So explain, like, for people who maybe just now are playing, like, 4 or whatever, like, what are the big differences between where, like, the PC version has gone and where
he doesn't know. He doesn't play the real games. He plays the PC game for like the last 5
See?
Years.
Right?
You remember though? Come on, you were playing on the consoles once, right?
The last Monster Hunter I played was third portable.
Okay, right. Yeah. So okay. So you got a little talk bit, about huh? like main big line bullet point differences between PC version. Like, why do you like the PC version? Because they're expanding it all the time. I'm guessing it's one of the things.
There's so much content in that game.
Yeah.
Is it still like $10 a month?
It's 1,400 yen.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's about $10.
Okay.
So like how many monsters, if you had to just ballpark now?
Man, there's like 60, 70 monsters.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's about 60 or 70 Rathian variants.
Yeah.
But do you find that a lot?
And a lot of the new
monsters are just kind of like palette swaps, different.
No, some of the stuff is palette swap stuff. But most of the new stuff is actually like just completely new monsters. And then they did this thing called hardcore mode,
okay,
where you can basically upgrade the monsters' movesets and AI. So they do different things.
Oh, nice.
So it's like you're still fighting the same monster, but it's got
more experience or more better gear, better
just
drops.
Different gear, different drops.
Okay.
They still don't have the monsters from Tri, though, right? Like the that whole new set of monsters that like Ludroth and all those that showed up. That's so weird to me that they don't have them.
Yet. See, so when I did the thing, I did this little video with Famitsu, the Monster Hunter magazine over there, and I asked the producers for Frontier. I was like, why don't you guys ever?
Right,
like integrate any of the monsters.
They're two totally different teams, basically.
And they're two.
Right.
They're based in different places.
Right.
There's Tokyo and Osaka, right?
Right.
And apparently, they don't really get along.
Yeah.
And right. So they don't. That's why they're just like, we don't mess with their monsters. They don't mess with ours.
So Tokyo was probably like, here, you can have all our old shit. I mean, Osaka was like, yeah, you can have everything through like Monster Hunter 2 or whatever, and everything else you got to make on your own.
Everything else is new. Yeah.
So, but you're still so
even the Devil Joe, you know, the big T-Rex.
Yeah. Yeah,
they have a different like. Basically, it's the same monster, but it looks different.
Yeah.
Really?
In Frontier.
Does it have the same scary music?
Like at the same
Devil Jim.
Yeah.
Dollar Store,
Devil Jack.
So when you are playing it, it's still, you're playing in a party of four people, right?
It's easier to solo.
It's easier to solo.
You can get, like, they actually fill your party out with AI characters if you don't have anybody
and not
to
just
jump.
Like,
and you got like AI dragons that follow you around.
Yeah, you've got a dragon.
I've seen some stuff though. Don't you team up with other parties sometimes for like 8 or 12 player stuff, or is that my
there's like some versus stuff like time versus quests and
there's
like some
the
Pokemon
regular.
Stuff too where you can capture monsters. Man, there's so much stuff that I don't even understand.
We should have made him wear the Monster Hunter hat while he talked about
it. That's right. The Tigrex monster hunter. You have to wear the Tigrex hat. But no underwater stuff, none
no
of the vertical
stuff
that they've
no
been doing recently.
It's still
stuck in Monster Hunter 3
PS2.
Era. Yeah. Right.
The graphics have not changed.
PS2, yeah.
But they released a high grade version that gives it like, you know, nice textures and shadows and bloom and all this stuff. But it's not really stable, at least on my computer.
Okay.
Like I've got a nice computer. Like I play a lot of PC games, and I have to like turn my fans on like hardcore. You know, my desktop starts to take off and just lifts off the ground when I'm playing in that mode. So I don't really use it very much. It doesn't look that.
It's
much
on
better.
Vita and PS3 at least, right? Maybe PS, maybe not PS.
Looks terrible on PS3.
On
really, it's on Wii U also.
About that.
Yeah,
that's right.
So like there are other ways.
There
to
must
play
be people
it.
Playing there when you get on. There's plenty of other. People in
there's
town
plenty of people
shit.
Playing.
Yeah.
When we played, me and JJ played for like a couple of months, and it was packed.
And it was on Xbox.
Yeah, but I think you were playing with the PC version as well, right? Weren't we?
No. Xbox is separate. The only servers that are together now
like every
are
Xbox
the PS and the PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So
it was fun. I had a good time with it.
I don't recommend it.
It's your crazy addiction.
It's too grindy compared to like the original.
If you want to upgrade your gear in that game, you don't use armor stones. You go and you upgrade with parts from the different monsters.
Right.
So it does get a little grindy.
Mm. What else? Divinity Original Sin.
Yeah,
I don't think we've talked about that on this podcast yet.
Definitely not.
Okay.
I guess not.
Yeah.
So Divinity Original Sin is like a top-down RPG for the PC. It's made by
Larian Studio, based in Belgium.
See, I didn't even know that. I just been playing this game.
But like it's like a Baldur's Gate type, right?
No, it's like a turn-based RPG without a grid.
Okay.
Like think of like a XCOM.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's really customizable. Like you start with a base.
It's like a
character.
Kind of more like a strategy RPG. Turn-based, where you're like moving your guy close enough.
Oh, I thought it was totally Baldur's Gate. Oh, no, that makes me kind of more interested.
It's like pause, you know, combat is pause until you make the move.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Everyone has action points.
How is it?
It's fun. It's a little difficult in the start because you go through the tutorial and it says, okay, this is how you play. And because it's a PC RPG, they give you like tons of choices. Like you want to combine, you know, this Tropicana with this remote, go for it. Maybe you'll get something.
The crafting is amazing.
And you go through the first tutorial and you feel like, okay, I understand this game, and then they just like set
let
you free.
Free
and like go for it. So I wandered around for about 3 hours trying to figure out where to go, walking out of the town, getting killed. And then I just said, fuck it, I'm going to go and get a walkthrough and figure out where I should,
anywhere to go next.
What should I be doing?
Yeah.
Have you been playing solo or online? Because the main thing about Original Sin is that you have two characters, and you can play cops. So, like one guy plays with his character, and the other plays with the others. And then when there are dialogues and stuff, you can actually argue about the answer you're going to give. So you have to fight the other. There's like a janken.
Rock paper scissors.
It's an amazing game. Like
crazy. Weird.
Sorry.
No. You could like because I haven't finished it. You know, the only reason I bought the game because I wanted to do co-op with it, but I found that when you play co-op, the other person that comes into your game plays your character.
Right.
Yeah.
So they don't play their character. They don't bring anybody, you know, that they have. And I was playing with Esteban, and he's like, I don't want to play your stupid witch bitch, man. What are you doing?
Just wants to fuck everything up.
People from listening to the show might remember Esteban from a very special episode. The last podcast you were on. But yeah, so, and you were like, I'm not turning my character over to this crazy man.
He can, I mean, it's not the same, though. You don't have the same level of investment. You know,
right.
You can't get him back. You know, like, hey, let's play my game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's hard enough to organize, like, you know, playing games together. So
right.
So I just said, fuck that, and I'll just play by myself. And then, you know, you can have the character argue with you.
Yeah.
And I turn that shit off. Look, bitch, this is what we're doing.
Too, yeah.
We're going through here.
Shut up. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Other games you're playing? How about some Q games? You playing any of your Nom Nom? What's going on in Nom Nom land? Nom Nom
So
world.
That's what I played the most.
I remember last
most.
Bit Summit seeing a bunch of stuff.
So we have, we just...
It's on Steam now, right? Is it early access?
It's on Steam early access. And we've got a game called Nom Nom Galaxy that we put in early access last year.
Right.
And we had a big update like last week or 2 weeks ago that basically unlocked about 75% of the game. We kind of went quiet for a while.
Right.
To really finish the game.
Right.
One thing about early access is you get in and you feel like you want to just respond to everybody's feedback.
Right.
You want to, you know,
you want to like incrementally improve the game, but then if you do no one notices when the game actually has changed.
To incrementally improve a game
with
feedback. It's really difficult because you start going on deadlines that are like weekly deadlines. You know, it was our first time doing this, so we were doing weekly deadlines.
I was going to say, it's like a learning experience because everybody now is kind of figuring out how to use the early access and not use it, right?
And then you have to factor in stuff like PAX and you know, and other shows.
Right.
Like, how do I make a build for this, but at the same time I'm trying to improve things that people are telling me about.
Right.
So it was a really big, like, it was a huge learning experience for us the past year. But we decided at the beginning of the year we were going to just, like, stop the updates and just really focus on the game based on everything, all the feedback we already had.
Right.
And I think that it's come out a lot better because of it. I think I have like 100 and like 200 and some hours on that game.
Jesus Christ. So for people who haven't seen it or whatever, just like describe the game. So 2D side scroll, not really side scrolling, but side view perspective game where you're kind of, I mean, it's a interesting mix kind of
so
genres.
If you've never heard, like the elevator pitch for this game is that you've crash landed on a planet. And you have this sadistic kind of president that this company you work for, and he's making you build a factory and make soup to ship to the galaxy.
Right.
And
one of those soup games.
One of the soup. You know the soup genre.
There's a very interesting trailer where Dylan is making soup.
That's right.
Oh, that trailer is so awesome.
As a chef.
All
right, so
and it's kind of a genre mashup. It's got platforming,
a little Minecraft
where you're, you know, base building, a little tower defense.
Yeah.
You know, when we first came up with the idea, I think we all liked like Terraria and Minecraft and stuff, but the games are so open ended that you don't really have any kind of direction. You kind of make your own fun.
Right.
And we wanted to have something that was sandboxy but also had a goal to it.
Terraria is a pretty good... That's probably the closest that I've seen to the kind of type of game that I would probably put Nom Nom at. Yeah. But so that was... Let's see. It first came out on Early Access like last year.
Yeah.
And then you just put out this major update, which what was the big... thing of this major update?
So the update adds, we didn't have a campaign mode before.
Okay.
We just had a couple of maps for people to play, so we added a campaign mode, story.
Is there multiplayer?
There is multiplayer.
How many?
It's two-player local co-op, and the PS4 version has four-player online co-op.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And couch co-op. Sorry, I'm missing
myself. It's all right. Keep going.
Couch co-op, that's cool. That's rare sometimes.
Also for PC games.
And that's stuff that we'll be adding to the PC version as soon as we get to it.
So you got a campaign now. You got a single-player story mode, basically.
Well, that's just like the kind of the show, man. I think there was a lot of things that we didn't really understand. When you're making a game incrementing like that, you don't really know, like, where is the fun in this game.
Right.
And to be frank and honest about it, it took us a while to figure out where it was. We had this really great art style, which is done by this guy named Yamatron. Mm-hmm. As well, that's our nickname.
That's a cool name.
His name is Yamamura, but we call him Yamatron. And he's got this amazing style.
Was he the art director on any of the previous Pixel Junk games, like Shooter?
He was the main artist for Pixel Junk Monsters Online.
Okay.
And he was one of the artists for he worked on Shooter and Monsters.
Because it looks like some of the, it has some of the Pixel Junk feel. It's a little different, but
it kind of reminds me of Shooter a little bit.
Right.
A little bit. Yeah.
Like the crumbly, like the how you're able to deform the terrain and stuff like that. It looks like some parts of it came from that kind of.
There's a little bit of, I think, all the previous Pixel Junk games in this game.
Right.
But it's whereas the other Pixel Junk games kind of had a genre that they were at least
squarely kind of
in.
Right.
This one is a little bit left field.
So when does the final game come out? What platforms besides, you said PC, you said PS4.
So when is this podcast going to be?
This podcast comes out, yes, as we're recording it the day after
So the PS4 version... should be very, very soon.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
Like,
very soon.
Yeah, we're basically waiting on Sony to do some approval stuff. And
okay,
cool.
PS4 version will be within like the next 2 weeks, probably. Yes. The PC version, because we basically had to finish the PS4 version, we got that done. And then the PC will be probably a little bit different because we're still building on some of the feedback we had.
Right.
And then we'll patch that stuff into to the PS4 version later.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So it basically gives us the chance to continue working on this game.
Okay. What else is going on in Q Land? Tomorrow Children. Tell us about Tomorrow Children. It seems like Q really embraced this whole, like, I don't know if I call it like Minecraft, but the whole like cooperative players
making stuff
and destroying stuff and kind of I don't know what you call that genre. It doesn't have a name, but like between Nom Nom and Tomorrow Children, it looks like this is kind of a new, like you were saying, all the games up until now, a lot of them are kind of squarely in the hitting these genres or trying to fill these genres and putting a little bit of a different spin on it. But it seems like both of those games are kind of like a interesting direction. And I really like the art style of the Tomorrow Children
it's
stuff.
Kind of creepy.
Like, yeah, it's super weird. Creepy.
It's supposed to be a little creepy.
Way. Yeah.
I think it, you know, Tomorrow Children, if you haven't heard of it, it's like a kind of dystopian future where the Russians, the Ruskies won.
Bastards.
But they won by basically destroying humanity and reducing all of the Earth into this one giant void consciousness of nothingness, right?
Okay. And I hadn't heard that part of it. That sounds good. They turn everybody into dolls, basically, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're a clone. You're like they take these elder humans that are still alive, and they clone this girl. That's why there's only one girl. They clone this girl, and they send her out to go and find...
Is everybody the one...
Everybody's this one little girl. Okay. Right? And they send her out to go and find the remnants of humanity that are lost in this kind of void.
There's
right?
some lore to this shit.
Yeah.
You guys have some deep, deep lore, man.
It's really messed up.
So, and there's also like kaiju and like there's like some Japanese elements to it, like the
so everything that's happening in this like void. I mean, if you see the towns, like you'll see like if you've seen screenshots, you'll see a town which you can customize and build yourself with other people,
right?
And then there's just, you know, these big expanses of nothingness, and from there, like from this collective unconsciousness that the Soviets have created, these islands of appear.
Okay.
And in those islands, you go and you search, you dig, you mine, you find these little remnants of humanity, and also these monsters appear. They're basically like walking nightmares.
Okay.
And they'll come and they'll try to destroy the town.
And so, are you setting up? Is it like a tower defense, or are you actively actually attacking?
You can attack them. There's different classes in the game, so the different classes and different weapons, etc. So you can.
It's kind of like Orcs Must Die, where you can set up automated things, or you can run in there and actually be actively attacking yourself.
Surprised you knew what Orcs Must Die is.
Hey, man.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, and so the ultimate goal, or kind of what you're doing, is it to expand the town, or protect the town, or to build, or to dig, or destroy, or is that not anything that you guys have said?
I'm trying to remember what we've said. Because we haven't shown the game since PSX.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no. And it was very...
But there was that open beta.
And it was an alpha. And well, that was the alpha was what we showed alpha, at PSX,
okay.
Right?
Oh, okay.
And we've really refined
But it was very mysterious, and it seemed like intentionally so, at least at the reveal. It was like, here's this game, it's really cool, you're playing with a whole bunch of people at once, but it doesn't fit squarely just by looking at it into any kind of, wow, what kind of game is that? I don't know kind of thing.
Yeah, it is kind of hard, like, yeah, looking at screenshots.
Yeah, they call
it
Nuzzle Gay here.
There you go, yeah. Mystery game, basically.
Yeah.
What is the game?
And I think at E3 you're going to see a lot more.
Okay.
I can tease that.
Cool. You're coming to E3, right?
Ha 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 ha.
What?
Nobody takes me to E3.
Oh. Boo.
Yeah.
All right.
You can tag me.
We'll see. Maybe for this podcast, we'll see how you do on the rest of the podcast.
Yes. The pressure's on.
That's right.
That's right.
JJ.
Hi.
Pressure's on you now.
Really? Me?
To quickly, because we've gone very long and we have a lot of news to talk about.
If there's something to talk about, we should talk about what Sarah has to talk about.
Well, I want to hear very quickly before that about Mario Kart DLC.
It's great. The new F-Zero track is the best thing in the game, period.
And 200cc looks so fun.
200cc with the F-Zero track. It is not F-Zero, but it's the closest you're going to get. Okay. In the next 5-10 years,
that's
probably.
Pretty good praise.
And it just makes me really want an F-Zero game. I want it so bad. So yeah, like
the... Should have bought more of the last one, JJ. You should have personally bought
I did buy
the GameCube game.
I bought F-Zero, all of them.
Really?
Well, not the Super Nintendo. I didn't know
that. What about the N64 disc?
I didn't get the disc because obviously
I'm
American.
That's why they're not making them anymore.
But I did get the N64 one. I got the GC and...
Sarah.
I played the arcade game.
Yes.
Isabelle's the best thing about the DLC, though.
Okay.
Girls Mode 3. Speaking of Nintendo, yeah. Girls Mode 3.
Yes.
Do we need to have played 1 and 2?
No.
Okay,
I don't
good.
Think so, because I didn't play 1 and 2.
All right, good. Yeah. All right, well, that is good. So what the hell?
My heart.
Is this like, did one of them come over as Style Savvy?
Yes.
Okay.
One came over as Style Savvy.
The first one did.
It was like Trendsetter, Style Savvy Trendsetter.
Gotcha, okay. And apparently, I think was fairly popular. Yeah. But so, you're into it. You're into Style Savvy.
I am really, really enjoying it. This game has a ton in it, and they know how to pace. I've never played a game that had such good like pacing in it.
So what are you actually doing for people who have no
idea? You are doing everything.
Right.
Basically, you play as like a girl, and you receive this letter from your grandma that has a key in it. and okay. the key takes you into like this magical doll world, yes. basically. Yes. I don't know. They don't admit
it's
that
like
they're dolls.
Narnia.
Yeah.
But they're just like tiny. They end up being like tiny little, because one of them comes out and she's tiny and she's basically a doll.
Right. Okay.
But basically, you go into the game and you have some sort of like magic fashion power where people love what you put on them.
Yeah. Okay.
You
magic
are,
fashion power.
Like, everyone's like, wow, you gave me this hat and my whole life has changed and everything's wonderful.
True to life.
So you take over your grandma's shop, basically.
Yeah.
And they start you off like, oh, someone will come in and they want, I want a girly top or I want a cool top. And there's all these clothes brands that kind of cater to these different needs.
Are they real brands or?
No, this is like. This is like, right. They're not real.
It's like McDougal's.
It's, yeah. it's like Forever 23.
Right.
Yeah, but they're very like, they're so very specific about the brands.
Can you be wrong? Can you be like
you
a slutty top
wrong.
On accident? And you're
you
like,
can be
oh.
wrong. I've done this several times. I've been wrong.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they go,
and
oh, I want.
You destroy their life.
Yeah, you missed the air, you missed the air quotes.
They kind of like, they get kind of upset when you do it.
Right.
Because they're like, I wanted like a girly outfit, but these shoes are cool. They're not girly. And
right.
they're just like, it ruins everything. And it really bothers me because those shoes look better on you than the
right.
girly shoes did.
Right.
But it doesn't count for them. They wanted the girly shoes.
Right. They
so,
got a coordinate.
You know better than the game.
I do know better than them.
And whoever designed
and
this game.
They're very.
But is it not Japanese fashion sense compared
it is
to
so,
your
it
fashion
is so
sense?
Japanese fashion sense.
Yeah.
Compared
so
to,
you have to imagine, okay, based on what I know of
mm-hmm.
Japanese fashion sense, this is what they're probably thinking is cute,
mm-hmm.
and this is what they're probably thinking is cool.
And it gets, like, even harder, because, like, you expand later to, like, cutting hair.
Oh.
And the hair's pretty difficult, because they'll kind of tell you a story. Like, they're like, this one girl was like, I'm going, like, figure skating with my boyfriend. Can you do my hair for me? And I'm like, okay.
I need an appropriate hairstyle. Yeah,
and I'm
okay.
like, and then
you
can ask,
what does that mean?
You can ask like 3 questions, and I'm like, so you want a ponytail? And she's like, no, I don't want a ponytail.
No, I'm going ice skating.
She's
yeah.
like, she's like, when I jump, it's going to hit me in the face. And I was like, are you shitting me? And then she's like, I want a bob. And I'm like, so you want to shear your
he
hair
called
off.
It. John called it.
You want to shear your hair off so you can figure skate.
Yeah.
With your boyfriend.
I said a bun.
Okay. But, close yeah. enough. Bob bun.
Bun would have worked.
Sarah, have you ever played the 8-4 translated Imagine Makeup Artist?
No.
Because this sounds startlingly similar
really?
To the award-winning Ubisoft published
I heard the script
8-4
is
play.
Funny.
It is amazing. I would recommend it
okay.
highly. But
Imagine Makeup?
Yes. But are you... so you're playing... Obviously, there is only the Japanese version.
Mm-hmm.
Is it difficult? Are you using this as practice?
It's really nice because it is a children's... Basically, a children's game.
Right.
So sometimes...
It's being marketed to elementary school age.
I was
going to
say,
girls.
What age is... Girl,
definitely elementary
aimed
school.
At.
And
so
they do this really nice
10,
thing. I'd say like
yeah.
8, 9, 10,
okay. mm-hmm.
that age.
Yeah.
But they do this really nice thing where they'll like highlight a word in blue. And if you click on it, it gives you a definition with like pictures.
Oh, okay.
So things like stock, like when you stock your store, like distributing
right.
centers, some kind of like fashion terms that maybe a young girl wouldn't know. So it's really nice for me.
Yeah, it's like a little
I'm like,
dictionary
I don't know
in.
What you're talking about.
Are there any like bad... lessons being taught to young Japanese women? Because I can tell you from having worked on the makeup game
mm-hmm.
that there were several buried in there that they would be like, oh, like I accidentally got tan and now I look horrible.
Yeah.
Make me white and pristine again.
Honestly, I looked for them.
Yeah.
I looked for them. But everyone comes into their store and they never say, like, I'm ugly. They never go, I feel bad about myself. I'm ugly. Can you fix me?
Right.
A lot
well,
of it's
nice.
Like, I want to kind of, like, dress better. It's not that I feel like shit. It's like, so...
No, like, I need to find a man or else I am
yeah,
worthless. And what purpose does my life have unless I get
like,
cute
I'm doing
shoes.
This for me
yeah.
to make me feel better
okay.
type thing. It's
but that's
not,
empowering.
Yeah.
Yeah
I mean,
believe.
I guess another thing is that kind of bugs me is that everyone's basically, like, obviously the same body type. We're all a bunch of dolls.
Right.
But,
well, this is Japan. Most... Women are
yeah.
the same body type.
And I mean, like, there is, like, different skin colors.
Yeah.
But they basically play it off as, like, tan.
Yeah.
Like, tanning. So I can go and go from, like, pasty white to, like, deep cocoa brown the next day. So there's that in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there's only, like, 5 guys out of the entire game.
So there are guys.
There are guys. And most of them hold, like... Like, one of them, like, owns every building in the town, basically. And I was like, hey, wait, why do you get to own my building? Like,
yeah, right. There's always got to be one man on top.
Yeah, and he, like, puts your fashion show together, too.
Right.
Too, and I was like,
You're there to please him.
It's only one guy.
And you're there to serve him, ultimately. Right?
And they come in as like boyfriends sometimes.
Oh, you have boyfriends in this game.
I can't have a boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Right. But like they'll come in like
You're too busy. You have a full-time job.
You're concentrating on your work right now.
I mean, as of yesterday, I'm also a fashion designer. Nice. I'm designing my own line right now.
So you're going through the rank, you're getting like experience points or something, and basically being promoted, and there's a story to this whole thing.
Yeah. The story is basically because you don't really know much about your grandma, and the story is basically learning about her and like learning about what this world is, because there's other people in there too that are human and that also like work in this world, so you kind of meet up with them.
That's weird.
And that's kind of how it's going. The story is very much not
so like a rock fashion.
Yeah.
I got that reference. So it's like basically the point of the game is you're like kind of finding, you're like reconnecting with your grandmother. Yeah.
You're dead.
Grandmother.
I think I assume she's dead, but no one ever said she's dead. But I just don't know her.
That's a little
her.
Too heavy for
I don't know her personally.
We're spoiling the twist ending to that game.
Yeah, but she pops out the closet.
And then the beginning of Bloodborne.
But you're into it, it sounds
like. Yeah, I mean, I had like high expectations, and it's like exceeding them.
Wow.
Because it keeps giving me new stuff to do. And every time I think that I finally, like, I'm done, they're like, you can pick a new brand. Wouldn't you like... Like
these are
this
like fake,
kind of
fake
brands.
Brands.
Fake brands. Like, you can pick, like, instead of girly style, now you can have, like, goth lolly. And I'm like, whoa. And then I run to the store and I buy all, like, the goth lolly stuff. And I, like, stock up on it.
So are you running a little shop in the game, too?
Yeah.
Is there, like, a little mini, like, profit and loss?
Yeah.
Little,
oh, no. They don't. The thing is like, even if you, like, fuck up and you give them what they don't want, they'll still pay you.
Oh,
and
right.
At the end, they'll still say thank you. So there really is no, like...
Fail state.
Fail. Yeah. Like it's,
they'll be like, this shit fucking sucks. I hate you, but thank you.
Yes.
Here's all the money. Anyway.
They'll be like, oh, I wanted it to be a bit more girly, but thanks, here's your money.
Right. Speaking of girly, Thomas, Bravely Second.
Oh, yeah.
That's just my segue.
Yeah, it's actually also a fashion game, because you spend most of your time trying to find a new wardrobe.
Well, are you? Well, new armor, basically?
No, it's jobs. But,
jobs,
you know, it's
okay.
Kind of same thing. Basically, the funny thing about the game is, so Bravely Second is RPG. You know, it's the direct sequel of Bravely Default,
which you were a fan of, I'm assuming. Because you're playing this. Okay, which a game which surprised a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was coming back to the roots of the old Final Fantasy when it was funny, interesting, charming, whatever.
A little more simple.
Yeah,
and people were kind of like. What people missed about JRPGs, a lot of people were saying, like, okay, this is one of those games. So, Bravely Second
is really awesome. And the thing I love about it is, like, in the first game, there was, like, some kind of a terrible, terrible design choice, which was you had, like, to repeat the game 4 times to get the real ending. So the artificial, like...
Jesus Christ.
It was...
Times?
I couldn't finish that game 1 time.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's like, well, you just have to fight like 4 bosses, but it's still fucking pain, and nothing is explained, it's horrible. But there's not... like, Bravely Second is not like that. It's a real story, it's interesting, it's funny, it's amazing. I'm only like 6 or 7 hours in, but I'm really loving it.
Gameplay is similar to the first. Any important differences? Key highlight differences?
Not really. They actually improve other little things from the first one. For example, if you want to grind or to activate automatic battle, you can set in different, preset types. So, for example, I'm fighting a wizard, so I'm going to use this strategy. Or I'm fighting just a grand guy, so I'm going to use this strategy.
Per enemy type.
Yeah, per enemy type, whatever you want. It's really great. And the funny thing is also, like, let's say you easily beat an enemy, you can actually... try one more time to fight them, but this time they will be a little bit more harder. And if you succeed again, you will get a little bonus in experience, etc. So you can continue on.
Kind of a double or nothing.
Yeah, double
bet
or nothing.
Each time after
and like
combat.
Every time the fight restarts, it's like, here's come a new challenger, like in English. So it's really it's really a good game, and I'm. The story is it's much better than the first one. So now I don't have much time, but I really want to know what's going to, happen.
You're
next.
Into it,
really?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
Into it.
Good characters. Good writing.
The new characters are interesting.
Yeah.
So,
who are the new characters?
Like, so there is Magnolia. She's like a girl coming from the moon, because apparently there is like a very advanced civilization on the moon.
Yeah.
And they decide to crash on Earth.
And for some reason, she speaks English.
She speaks English. She says, "Good gravy,"
good gravy is one of the things she says. Yeah.
Wait, like in katakana?
No, in English.
Oh, shit.
Romaji.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I gotcha, yeah.
So there is Magnolia, and there is like the three musketeers, so les trois mousquetaires. So three guys are fighting, you know, that alongside. So basically, those are really funny. There is the, you know, the young and feeble guy. There is the tough guy, and there is like the charming, flaming, wily guy. And
right,
it's really funny. Like I really like it. But the old characters, like you get like the main character was called Tease.
Yeah,
he was just
Fucking. He was super fucking blonde. Now he has he has an emo haircut, but he's still the fucking same. Like
he's back. So the same characters return.
There is it's a direct sequel.
It's Tease.
There is Tease, and there is like
Idiot. As long as it's not Agnes.
Yeah. Really like
it's Agnes. Get
anyway,
your Agnes.
I would definitely recommend it for people. And
cool, better or
yeah, definitely better.
Continuation, really better than the first one.
I was kind of a little cold on it because it looked a little samey to me.
Yeah, actually, yes, but. Strangely enough, the more I play, the more I want to play. So I guess it's really
well. I'll check it out after I'm done with it's working across.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good gravy is my new.
In the meantime, new catchphrase.
Good gravy.
Good gravy. We've got a lot of news to talk about. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we're going to talk about NPD numbers. We're going to talk about Phil Harrison, I guess, left or something. We're going to talk about Steam paid mods,
Konami.
See what people feel about that. We will talk about Konami, a little bit of E3 news starting to happen, and a bunch of other crap. So stick around, we'll be right back.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Are back, but not with the news just yet, JJ. Before that, I realized we have never talked about your nickname, Dirty Saitama.
Oh,
yeah, and
what
that's
you really
so
know about the Dirty Saitama.
Why don't we delve into that in our new segment, Life in Japan?
Life in Japan.
Let's call it. JJ, give us the Life in Japan.
Life in
theme
Japan
song.
You have to make it like the Full House, but change it so it's Japan.
It's the life of Japan. I don't know. I'll think of something next time.
All right. We got it for next week. But
how did you not do the racist, like...
Because I'm better than
don't
that, John.
That. That's right. That's right. So
yeah, Tuesday, I took a day off because my wife wasn't... she had to stay home and take care of Toma. So I went on a field trip with Haruki for his... Yoshi and his preschool, a kindergarten, I guess you would say. And I was the only foreigner there.
Right.
And I was
one of the only dads, I'm sure.
There was only one other dad in my class.
Wait, how many people?
Yeah.
30 years. Okay. Well, I mean, there were like 6 buses or whatever.
Okay.
And there were like a couple of other dads, but like you could count the amount of dads on one hand.
Right.
So yeah, and, you know, I'd never done anything like this before, obviously. But, like, you know, you wake up at the crack of dawn, there's, like, 7 buses waiting in front of the school, you get on the bus, and, like, it turns into, like, a little party where the teacher will come up with a microphone, ask
people...
People
get drunk on the bus, or
well,
what?
You would think so, no.
Okay.
Kids getting high on Oreos. No, like
they actually probably were
a little bit.
Yeah,
and the teacher will like go around with a microphone, ask questions. It'll be like a quiz show.
Oh wow!
Oh,
play,
so is
like,
it like a coach
hand
bus?
Games.
It's not like a school bus.
No, it's like a bus, like a tour bus.
Oh, okay, I've seen like a school bus. I'm like, those don't have mic.
No, they don't have.
There's not very many school buses here.
Yeah, they don't do the cheese here. It's straight up just bus.
They'll paint them blue and call them party buses. One of them rolls by my house like every weekend.
Really?
Yeah, like pissing it's like you I'm like outside. I'm smoking at like 3 in the morning. I'm like, there goes the party bus. And I'm like trying to look on to see who's in there. It's like, man, I want to jump on
you.
There.
Want to run along the party bus and just like, fucking jump in
damn.
There?
Damn. It looked like they're in the car.
But this was not a party bus.
No party bus. It was a bus.
Kids were having a good time.
Yeah, the kid Haruki was enjoying it. He liked looking out the window and.
Does Haruki have friends?
Yeah, he does.
Did he like scenery?
He was just looking out the window.
Well, it's like it's not like he could talk to anybody because there was a seating chart, and he had to sit next to me.
Yeah,
and he took the window.
Did you apologize?
He took the window because he liked looking out the window.
JJ, were there hot lonely moms that were?
I don't know about lonely,
to
but
talk to the one of the few men.
I will be. I'm gonna be real. There are some attractive
mothers.
Keep it
real, son.
There are some attractive mothers at the Siochian.
Yeah.
And
were they excited to talk to somebody and to rescue them from their lonely lives?
I literally talked to two people the whole time, and it was just like, what do we do next kind of thing.
Right.
I have a beard now. I'm a little intimidating.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're scary.
Yeah, I'm a little scary. Like, nobody knows how much Japanese I can speak, even though my wife is constantly saying, you can talk to him. He speaks fluent Japanese.
Right.
But people, I think, are just a little kind of put off.
Should we talk at all about Saitama? Have we talked about Saitama before on this podcast?
Man,
not much.
I used to live in Saitama.
Hey,
for years.
I said was
I got lots of love for Saitama.
Yeah,
should we talk about Saitama?
Saitama is like the New Jersey of Japan. It's where everybody who lives in New Jersey works in New York, uh-huh. And it's like that here. Everybody who lives in Saitama pretty much works in Tokyo.
And people don't.
Why can't Yokohama be like that?
Saitama gets no respect.
No, Saitama.
Just like New Jersey gets no respect.
Exactly, Saitama is the place that everybody makes fun
of. In fact, there's a word.
Yeah. Dasaitama. It's
Saitama
a combination of Saitama and Dasai. Dasai means uncool.
Right.
You probably hear that a lot in Style Savvy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a Saitama look, maybe, or something in Style Savvy.
The Saitama look is straight up Uniqlo.
Yeah, John, where are you in Saitama?
You lived out there.
I
was in Tokorozawa.
I'm in Fujimino, which is near, not Tokorozawa, but Kaogoe.
You're on the other line.
Yeah, I'm on the Tobu. So there's two
just
major
to give
lines
people
in Saitama.
How long does it take you to get here in the morning? And then John, how long did it take? Would it have taken you where you lived out there?
Door to door, it's an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Okay. Yeah.
And when I worked at Grasshopper, it was about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about Grasshopper. We'll save that for your next appearance.
Juicy.
But you have interesting. I mean, you've been in the Japanese game industry for a while. People like to hear about that stuff. So we haven't even talked about like general life at Q Games and Kyoto Bit Summit. Like, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about.
Oh, if you're indie and you're listening to this podcast and you've made it this far, and you're not like put off
Saitama
by everything that I've said. Then please submit your games to BitSummit. Yeah, we just opened submissions.
We'll be beating that drum.
BitSummit.com?
From now.
BitSummit.org.
There you go.
We'll be beating that drum until BitSummit itself happens July 11th.
July 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th, Kyoto, Japan. Come check it out.
It's
going to be open to the public.
Open to the public.
If you're
very cheap.
Indie dev, show your game. There's
so many people that I think we're going to show up at this show.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. It's got Indie Mega Booth on board.
Yep.
Kelly's bringing a whole.
Kelly is kicking ass.
Yeah. Load of her peeps with her.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Or if you can't make it out, I think there's going to be more options to kind of check it out from afar this year.
Yeah,
if Twitch would get back to me, maybe we'll get something going.
We'll get something going. Yes. We'll get something going.
And it'll be on Nico Nico also.
Yeah.
Streaming.
We'll have options
like
for
240p.
People to experience it remotely. 15 frames per second. Yeah.
See me doing the robot? I am your robot.
In the meantime.
Nice yo, gaba gaba.
What was the dirty Saitama thing? Did we ever get to that?
Oh, no. Saitama is just dirty because of his
imagination. Yeah. That's just JJ.
Saitama is full of foreigners. Hence, dirty Saitama.
Really? I thought it was
we're dirty foreigners,
What's the dirtiest place in Saitama? Is it like Omiya?
Yeah. Like, Saitama City is pretty.
Saitama City. Saitama Superdome!
That's right.
March NPD numbers came out.
Yes.
And surprise to nobody who listens to this show, Bloodborne is up there. Bloodborne sold very well. Number two, just behind Battlefield Hardline. Mario Party, respectable fourth place. Surprising.
Yeah, people still like Mario Party. Haruki wants Mario Party. I think that's like a cyclical thing. Kids really like Mario Party.
Did you, on the field trip, did you get a sense of is the Yo-Kai Watch thing still in full bloom?
Not a lot of kids were talking about Yo-Kai Watch. The one kid we kind of talked to.
It's like one kid is still doing
there's
it.
There's the one kid.
He's like, yo, you got
to do that. No, no, but like there was another
Everybody
kid.
Else is like,
there was another kid who's.
Like the kids who are playing with
mother, mother I know is a gamer. And so we talked about games a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But her son is also like super into Mario and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Mario Party.
But you didn't get a sense of like, oh, this is where Japanese the next Japanese kids craze.
No, because like we were in a park, kids were just running around. It was okay. like
pandemonium.
Yeah,
like
a war total zone. Pandemonium. A total war zone.
So like, my nephew is still into Yo-Kai Watch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's I mean it's got to be going strong. The games are still selling.
I think it is.
Cartoon is still going.
But we're
the
not
toys. They got new stuff, but Haruki is past.
He's
that
pretty
phase.
Much past it. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe he's ready for his Minecraft phase because that's now number 7 on the U.S. charts. Still, that game will not stop. And also, it's actually doing okay in Japan.
Yeah.
The Vita version. Vita is kind of quietly amassed a decent amount of people who buy a lot of games in Japan. Mm. Quietly, no. Vita's like
you know, Monster Hunter's on Vita.
And Monster Hunter Frontier is on Vita.
It's like the kind of like it's almost like the Sega Saturn of now. It's got a lot of those adventure titles and kind of like off the beaten path stuff that people like who like those things buy the shit out.
It's got a lot of like to be fair, it's got a lot of like booby titles.
Yeah,
I think is what we've Dengeki been calling
PlayStation.
Just like games that exist to show like bouncy booby things. But
there is a Famitsu article this week for a new Vita game where one of the screenshots in the article was literally an upskirt, and the caption was like, "Ooh, cheetah print."
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's the Vita in a nutshell.
What is that old Super Nintendo game with the girl with the yo-yo that
Umehara Kawase?
Yes.
Umehara
Kawase. So the thing you can know about the Vita audience is if you see the ad for the Vita version of that game, she's just got like
her boobs are pointing in completely different directions.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to bring that back up?
Like, yeah. Yeah. No. Not her nipples, like her boobs are just like here's one's on the left
and she's not wearing like, a bikini or anything and she's like wearing a very conservative like sweater vest, but it's still
boobs
like,
don't work that way.
The character is like this 2D tiny little whatever character, but it's like a Vita audience needs to have
it. Was a game to start out you used to the first one.
Basically,
for Super Nintendo you were like
giant,
a little girl.
We should have put giant boobs on the Rogue Legacy person before we brought it out here.
It's true
because we're Rogue Legacy day 4 release of Japanese Rogue Legacy is number 3 behind only Minecraft and something else that we don't need to talk about. Mm. Yeah, Super Robot Wars, which, fuck that. So Final Fantasy Type Zero also clocked in at number 10. I guess that shows the power of that demo that none of us have played or can talk about.
Probably never intend to play.
Did you patch Bloodborne? You did, right?
I did, yes.
I did too.
A very, very welcome patch. Yes.
This is kind of, to me, this is the should have been with the release game patch.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Load times are, I would say, normal. Mm-hmm. Not great, but they've become from
they're
shitty
better.
To normal.
It's even better because now you don't have to stare at the blood.
Yeah, you can just read
it's
the text.
Almost,
of the
and then that's the other thing.
That's like the placebo effect.
They added like the item descriptions, a la Dark Souls or like Skyrim.
Yeah,
or
don't make anyone like get
whatever.
Burned from their screen from your loading.
No.
Right. Well, it changes pretty rapidly. It doesn't just show the
No,
line.
I mean, if before it was just
right,
the
was
logo.
Just, right.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And, like, it makes a big difference, I will say. It's almost weird now. I'm like, because I'm so used to grabbing my phone after you die or doing something else. And you're like, oh, shit, wait, is it back already?
So read your other.
Fixed a bunch of bugs. Fixed the thing where I didn't realize until like a week after I was playing the game the whole thing about putting in the suspend and not being able to see.
You can now connect to people.
Yeah, the blood things of other people. Basically what should have been. I mean, it was weird that it showed the game's logo at loading before anyway. And now to me it was like, okay, obviously it was just like rushed out. So it'll be interesting to see future patches. If at any point
this is
they
the day
up,
30 patch,
yeah,
the day 1 patch, now the day 30.
There you go. It'll be interesting to me if they ever like do something along the lines of Scholar of the First Sin, where they like remix the game now. If that's a new thing that From is going to do across different games,
I
or
hope
if that
they
was
do.
Just a Dark Souls 2
another excuse to play through Bloodborne
now.
Would be
great. Right? I think a lot of people would be looking for another excuse to play through it. So God damn it, Silver Amiibo. Like, is this really something people care about?
John cared about
Did you not see the pictures of the tents in front of Toys R Us?
God damn it.
Tents.
Stop buying them toys.
About what? What were people tenting in front of
For the new Amiibos that came out this week.
And they're people, silver. They're not even gold.
Well, no. This was just regular Amiibos.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I think a lot of people were waiting for Ness. Ness from the Earthbound series.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. They're not the Yoshis yet.
Yeah.
Give me my Willy Yoshis.
Yeah.
John, I know you're excited about House of Wolves. We'll finally let you exchange materials. Yes!
Really? Is that serious?
No, it is. All that radiant energy, all that shit that you have, just gaining
Well, exchange gaining with other dust. People or exchange with the vendor?
Exchange with the vendor for other things that you can use or for money. But have you heard about the House of Wolves information that's come out at all?
Only the stuff that I talked to you and Brad about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that all the different armor, all the different weapons are going to be able to be upgraded to ultimate, to the new cap?
That's good to hear. That's actually makes me very happy.
It's a smart move. Yeah, anything that you had from Vault of Glass, you can basically, that's fine. You can fucking talk amongst yourselves. back for 10 seconds and imagine what you talk about fucking Dynasty Warriors. Right?
The times you never let me talk about Dynasty Warriors.
Well, it's my show.
So. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, you just sounded, like, I was going to ask.
Damn, it's like, you work for Bungie. I don't listen to this podcast very often. Yeah. I don't listen to anything. So, is there a problem with Destiny talking?
Mark just likes Destiny.
I'm the only person that plays Destiny, so when we talk about it, and it's one of the most popular segments of the show. Yeah.
It's becoming a thing now.
Anyway, the cool part about it, for people who haven't watched the video, but you can... Yeah. One of the problems with Destiny was everybody who has the best armor and weapons has the same armor and weapons. It's boring.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they're doing is there is now an upgrade path that they're adding for almost anything where you can upgrade it to the
weapons
ultimate...
as well?
Yes.
Okay, so like you could... You know, use one of the like beginning of the game armors and level it up to be super badass.
You don't have to pretend to care about it, JJ.
People who are listening to the podcast are tuning out just as much as I am.
Well, here's the other thing that you can do.
Destiny gets a lot of hate that it doesn't deserve. I think this is like something that they should have done in the beginning.
Also correct. One of the other things you can do that you might be interested in. You can re-roll, like reforge a weapon. When you get a weapon, you can reforge it and get different perks on it, depending on...
That's good, too.
It's very good.
Yeah, so just like whatever weapon you want, you can kind of...
Well, I mean, the weapons you get, perks for weapons are different.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's their kind of idea of this is going to be random.
Up until the ultimate class of weapons, the perks, the different skill bonuses you get on a weapon are, like... There's different things that you can get.
It's just
the rules for armor are the same way. So you can actually spend... There's reasons now to spend motes of light. They're actually correcting... They're slowly correcting a ton of the stuff that people are complaining about. They're still revealing stuff. They're doing a big, like, week-by-week reveal thing now, too, which, the Dark Below or whatever, they just fucking dropped it. It was just like, boom, here it is. But this, they're, like, teasing week-by-week. They've learned a lot, I think, in how they roll stuff out and publicize stuff. And the community is going crazy because people are so fucking desperate for anything new in that game.
That's good, man. They fucked up that first patch. I mean, that first DLC so hard.
Are they going to get you back? There's no new raid.
I don't need a new raid.
Okay.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Maybe I do. There's new missions,
there's other
right?
good stuff. There's new missions. There's a new... mode that's like multiplayer. It's only three player, but it's kind of different every time. It's randomized. Nobody knows exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll cover it next podcast.
Yep.
Don't worry. Fire Emblem If selling out the limited edition here in Japan that gets you both versions of the game. We talked about this in the last podcast. John, you got that right?
Yeah.
Limited edition. Riccardi got it. They're only going to do a second order of it here in Japan, and then that's it. But basically, that's the one that you get for $80 that gives you like I guess all three versions of the game, kind of. Damn. The two versions of the game.
Pokemon
one,
and Fire.
They're
kind
of doing the Pokemon thing, yeah. But they're doing a cool thing. Have you heard about this?
Pokemon.
They're like, you can play Fire Emblem and then you play it from the enemy's perspective in the other version of the game. That's so it's actually fresh. Totally different in that way.
Do you like me some FE?
Yeah. And that game actually looks really fucking good, too. In more puzzling news, Ouya is up for sale.
Ouya.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
That part's not surprising.
We're watching Silicon Valley right now. And yes. I feel like Ouya is like a fake company from that world.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be a character. Like, the person running Ouya should be a character in that
these
show.
These headlines for Ouya are coming straight out of that show, I feel
the
like.
The part that I took out of this story was that, so it raised $8.5 million on Kickstarter. It got $15 million in venture capital, and then apparently got another like $10 million from Alibaba. So you add that shit up, that we're talking about like $33, $34 million for that piece of fucking garbage that anybody could have told you, this is bullshit garbage, is not going to go anywhere, why are you wasting any money on this? Except for people like John, limited edition Riccardi, who bought one.
We get it. We got Towerfall.
That's true, although would Towerfall... I like to think Towerfall would have happened without it.
Well, I mean...
Also, controversial opinion, maybe not so much, but Samurai Gun, kind of the same but better version of Towerfall.
Totally, totally.
Samurai Gun is
a better game than Towerfall.
No.
Played both games, right?
I've played both games. Yeah. And you know, Roger Hicks, he was like one of the programmers for
friend of the show
for Samurai Gun, and I love Roger to death, but Towerfall is a complete game, and Samurai Gun is just it's just
more fun to play with people.
Who are you playing with?
Who played? All right. Yeah. ESPN is airing video games now. Well, woo. ESPN 2.
Yeah, ESPN 2, but still, that's slowly working
ESPN
its way
2?
Up. That's not the Ocho.
I
know.
Yeah. I won't be impressed until like Magic is on ESPN 2. Then I'll be impressed.
Magic. Yeah.
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, it's been on ESPN 2.
It's been 2 on ESPN
for,
2.
Oh my God. Really?
What?
Yeah. Magic the Gathering was on ESPN 2 in like the 90s.
What? I didn't know that.
Big is time. It on like
Wizard of the now? Coast got pool.
Oh, big shit. Time. Yeah.
Like big hits.
Because I remember watching it and I was
big
like, pockets. What the fuck? They were like, it was like a Korean tournament.
This is my trap card.
And they were treating it like it was, it's probably, I had the same reaction that a lot of people do probably turning in watching video games, being like, what the fuck, they're treating this like it's a real thing?
Yeah.
And that was my reaction, is like, you know, oh, so-and-so likes to play the whatever the fuck card, and like, whatever, but...
So they played, what, Heroes of the Storm?
Yeah. Heroes of the Storm, Dota 2 was on last year.
On ESPN 2 now?
Theron, they were on ESPN 2.
It was like a few days ago.
But some ESPN reporter guy was like, this is bullshit, I'm going to quit. And people were like, yeah, go ahead and quit. I don't know. Whatever.
They got
poker on there, man.
Yeah, they need to pick a better game.
No, seriously. Yeah, that's a really good fucking point. Yeah, it's like the World Series of Poker is okay. This is fucking okay, right? Like,
they need to put like fighting games up there. Something that's a little bit more easy to understand. Like, I love MOBAs, but you can't really.
It's a generational
MOBAs,
thing.
MOBAs are hard to get into, man. I mean, they're hard to understand.
They're hard to follow if you don't know everything.
Well, especially because the camera like spazzes around the screen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, wait, who am I watching?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've dedicated hours to watching MOBA and still kind of don't feel like I understand.
I got a friend that works at Riot now. It's really fun. Like, it's more interesting for me to watch League than for me to watch football.
Yeah.
Because it's just, there's so much more going on.
And you're from Wisconsin.
And I'm from
what the fuck?
Green Bay Packers. Go to my parents, I'll get thrown out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I've got a friend that works at Riot now, right?
Yeah.
And he used to work at Q. This guy named Rowan. And he's a big, big, you know, like League of Legends guy. And he was like, hey, you should play. And he's like, but you're not going to like it for like a year. He's like, yeah, you can play, but you know, it's going to take you like a year and a half.
I felt weird.
Like, really,
that's not true. League of Legends is pretty easy to get into compared to Dota,
but compared to any other game, like, I feel weird telling people Monster Hunter, you aren't going to like it for the first 10 hours.
But
the first year is really.
I would say
you're a terrible crack dealer, man. What are you doing?
I'd say your first month, you're not going to know what the fuck you're doing, but after that, it'll start getting better.
GameStop is going to be selling retro games. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah.
Haven't they been selling retro games forever? Like, is
but
like
retro, used games? Retro games.
Now they're bringing them back,
like NES games
with market based
prices.
Are they
going to like mark the prices up? Super fun.
Well, of course, because yeah. That's how they make their money. Some samples from apparently a leaked document. Legend of Zelda for the Nintendo, $25. Mega Man 6, $45. Castlevania 3, $25. Something about $20.
They work.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I did. That's right. They have to, and also the battery. Like yeah. These games that have, yeah,
I'm sure they'll have like a big ass sticker on them that'll gum up the cartridge.
Are they gonna sell the consoles as well?
That is a good question. I don't know about that.
Or is this just like collectors?
Yeah,
maybe
it's
retro.
Yeah.
Stuff, right?
Secret of Mana, $50. Street Fighter 2, $15. Chrono Trigger, $90. Castlevania 4, $45. It's interesting to me the games that have just basically returned to their original price.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Chrono Trigger was $90
years later. Yeah, they just go down and then come back up, and then we'll probably go up from now. And there's some Genesis games in here, JJ. Revenge of Shinobi, $13.
So good
Contra
Genesis.
Hardcore, $40.
It's called the Mega Drive.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2 for the N64, $18. For some reason, I thought that would be rare and expensive. But Smash Brothers is the N64 game that fetches the highest price, $50. Just anecdotally.
It's the best Smash.
Interesting. Really? You're one of those. Not GameCube? Really?
No, I don't. I didn't play the GameCube one very much.
That's the one that I thought everybody loved. Yeah, Phil Harrison's gone from Microsoft. We knew that at GDC. They just only finally now confirmed it. Halo 3 ODST is actually coming. We knew that too. Oh. That happens next month. They're patching a bunch of other shit. I guess they're still patching that game and fixing it.
Can you play it online? The Master Chief?
Yeah,
apparently.
I hope so.
Mostly
the
these
Halo,
days.
So.
Didn't you guys have Xbox One?
Yeah.
No.
It's unplugged, but it's unplugged.
It, but,
the reason it's unplugged is because there's not enough power outlets in the back of my TV, but I think it does say something that it's unplugged. I haven't used it since
Super
Time Force under D4. Okay. I played D4, which is coming to PC. Yeah. That's here in the news.
Nice.
Somehow. I don't know who's bringing that game to.
Every time someone asks me, they say, do you have family or friends from the States. They ask me, should I get a PS4 to get an Xbox One? And I'm like, well, I live in Japan, so...
Yeah, that's absolutely though.
I mean, the answer to that question is easy wherever you live, right? I mean, seriously, like, where are they going to see?
Are we taking sides in the console war?
It's not taking sides. It's like looking at the like battlefield and being like, well, yeah, they won or they're winning, and maybe, I don't know. Could they turn it around?
Not in Japan. That's for damn sure.
Well,
but
okay,
it was never that
Japan.
Way in Japan.
It was foregone conclusion in Japan, but even
they could turn
America,
it around if they
even worldwide.
To.
Put another Idle Master game on it.
Yeah.
Look
at
selling.
Wait for E3. Wait for Space World. We'll
I don't know.
We'll see what Microsoft can pull out.
Milky told me they were going to get their balls kicked at E3.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Microsoft will?
Yeah, Microsoft
really?
Will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'd be like 3 years in a row if that's the case. Wouldn't surprise. Alan Wake, though, if you're an Alan Wake fan, you might not need to get an Xbox One because a sequel might hit other systems, including PlayStation. Apparently, they were talking with Microsoft.
Betrayal
about it,
time.
But Remedy, it didn't happen.
That's just pretty interesting because they put on Polygon an article about the canceled sequel for Alan Wake.
Yeah. The canceled sequel for
Alan Wake, actually.
Yeah,
Alan
there
Wake.
Was a, there
oh,
was
right,
yeah,
Alan
yeah,
Wake
yeah.
2.
Yes,
was,
no, that's what they're saying.
They just,
yeah, and they're saying, yeah. like, well, maybe we'll jump on Kickstarter
yeah,
or Greenlight or whatever. And Alan Wake 1 might actually have an Xbox One port. They said they're in talks for that.
Good luck.
Are you an Alan Wake fan?
I'm a Max Payne fan, Remedy fan, but Alan Wake was okay, I guess.
My thing with Remedy is, if they're going to go with, like, the Kickstarter or whatever route, like, their games take forever to fucking
come
out.
Yeah, of course.
Forever.
The development team is only, like, 20 people. So, of course, it's taking forever.
Right. Mm.
They don't.
Well, speaking of Steam, do we even want to fucking touch this giant...
Can somebody explain to me...
Radioactive Pandora's
can we, like,
box?
Explain to me, like,
what
I'm
happened? Why was everyone upset?
It's
okay,
immoral.
So...
Okay, just
what,
give
do you want to go? Go, go ahead.
Yeah.
Explain it.
Okay, so what happened is basically, Skyrim, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so what happened is, like, one day, Steam say, oh, by the way, now you're going to go through the Steam Workshop, so Steam interface, to put on your mods and stuff... Everyone was happy, it was great and stuff. And one day, like about 1 week ago, they say, "Oh, now you can actually sell your mods." And
people, for Skyrim
first
through Steam. So you are a guy who has made a mod where Randy Macho Man Savage voices come out anytime a dragon roars or something like that. Yeah.
That is an actual mod, by the way. This is not something he made up. This is a thing.
I totally believe it.
Yeah. So and you have made that, and you up until now you have given that away for free, and there's been an active, vibrant modding community since the game came out. But now you have the option, as the creator, the option. You could still do it for free, but...
Well, not anymore, but... Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what their original idea was.
At any point, and at every point, you always had the option to give this away for free. But if you wanted to, you could sell it. And Steam would get their cut, as they always do. You would get a cut, and Bethesda, as the creators of Skyrim, would also get a cut.
It's like 30% for Steam, 30% for Bethesda, and 25 or something for the creator, I think.
What happens to the 15?
Yeah.
Do we not worry about it?
I don't really know.
Okay. It goes into the Macho Man gets 15%. All right, so, and then do you want to explain why this upset people?
The main reason why that people would only now do paid mods and no free mods whatsoever. And the other problem was that now people were only doing to put their mods on Steam and not anymore, you know, on all the third parties, all the three websites that exist. There is a very strong community on PC, obviously,
right,
about mods and stuff for Skyrim, for Half-Life, or whatever you want. Mm. So people were really scared about that, you know, basically Steam was going to be a monopoly.
There are other issues there too, like with people taking other people's mods potentially, selling them as their own. Yeah. There was not like a gatekeeper mechanism.
There
mods,
were a few
mods that didn't work.
Yeah.
Like there was a refund mechanism. Yeah. There was a refund mechanism, but it was basically like a very hairy hornet's nest.
Another thing was if you start charging for your mods, the free flow of information between mod developers would stop because nobody would want to trade their secrets.
So exactly. To be fair, like Steam's standpoint in this is, you know, hey, when we open up things to Steam Workshop like Team Fortress 2, like the level of quality goes way up when you allow people to sell their stuff because people can make a living doing that. And something that they're doing as a hobby, or maybe they can't devote time to it, they can devote time to it if they're making money doing it. Or people have to use mods as like a job application right now because it's given away for free. Yeah. Whereas if they can actually sell it, they can actually just do that for a living, right, potentially.
People that do mods on Steam for like TF2 or their other Valve properties, they make a living doing that.
Yes, there are. Famously, hat creators and a lot of people making good money. And so, you know, it's a very unpopular thing to say anything except for, I think, the prevailing wisdom, which is like, this stuff is free, it should be open, it's been open up until now, you can't police it, you know, don't screw up kind of like a good thing. But it's not that simple at all, and I kind of equate it to kind of the YouTube situation, which is like, on the one hand, okay, yes, you have bought the game, you've bought Skyrim,
right,
and now you can do kind of, in my feeling, kind of like whatever you want to do with it, and mod it and whatever, if you're giving it away for free. But if you want to sell it, I can see why the person that made the tool that allows you to do it get some of the money.
Bitching about the money split here?
One of the arguments is, let me just put out the argument. Right. One of the arguments is, hey, if I buy Photoshop and I like modify my photo in Photoshop, I don't got to pay Photoshop for selling the photo or whatever. But I've seen arguments on both sides of this. I think a good point is there's very much a difference between a Skyrim and a Photoshop You know, Photoshop is being
but mods made. Are like original assets. This isn't like YouTube some where mods, it's just guys some guy yeah. playing. Well, yeah, that's
the Macho Man Randy Savage app. Right?
Well, you shouldn't be able to sell that anyways. That's somebody's likeness
you
that you're using.
To Randy Macho Man Savage's well, yeah. estate.
Okay, maybe it's DeJohn in you know imitating Macho Man mod, right?
Could call it Strongman.
Strong pals.
Yeah, strong pals.
I got tons of Yoga Vigera references for you, man. So you don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a tool, right? Like that.
It's a tool, but you shouldn't have to pay the people who make the tools. Like you take a picture, you don't.
No. Photoshop is a tool.
Right.
It's expressly built for you to make whatever you want to make.
And for the reason that
when you send
them out, know what you're going to be doing with it, and et cetera. Like, I think the argument the other way.
Well, that's the prerogative of the developer to do that if they want to.
I mean, to
well, they start selling Skyrim for $500 and say, hey, you can make money off of this.
They could sell like a mod capable version for more money.
To me,
if they wanted to,
the strongest argument the other way is, hey, Skyrim. Bethesda, you benefit from people making mods indirectly because more people buy your game or keep playing your game or buy the next version of your game or whatever. And that's the exact same argument that people use on YouTube, and there is absolutely merit to that argument. However, it doesn't discount completely the other side of this whole thing, which is Valve side and Bethesda side and a lot of the mod creator side probably. If I was a mod creator, I would really like the option... Not the requirement, but the option to be able to sell my thing. Even though I do realize that the way it would be a big change from how things have happened up until now. There are it's one of these things where it's not popular at all to say, but there are very valid reasons on both sides.
Yeah, but I think it's just opening Pandora's box when you introduce money. Because then like you take these, you know, people who just, you know, do nothing but make jokes and then they're like charging $5 for Macho Man, or like you've got like a really good mod, and then someone just steals that mod, changes a couple things,
and then
charges.
But that's like what the Apple Marketplace, right? The iTunes.
Well, yeah, that's why like if I was of someone who made mods who was in the scene, I wouldn't want that happening. Like I don't want my work being stolen because some like you know Chinese programming farm like. Wants to make $10 off of advertisements.
It's a weird.
Basically, it's going to stay in this kind of really insular community that makes the stuff that they love, and there's probably going to be standouts that are really great.
Yeah.
Or you democratize it and you capitalize it and you let a lot of people doing it and monetize it and then
it turns into it loses its soul. The big business comes in.
Does it though?
I mean, you know, like it's a trade off. No question. It's like there's a trade-off to like losing where everything is free for everyone, but there's also like a gain for some people.
But it's like, well, yeah, there's gain for some people, but like it won't ever stop there, right? It'll start out with like these people who deservedly should get money for some of the crazy awesome work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, people will see that and then they'll be like, "Hey, let's, you know, I'll fund you, do this." Mm-hmm. And then more money will get in and more money and then you have to be
that
a person who has
awesome
a lot of money.
To me.
Well, it does, but then you get into like an app store situation.
You have to have money.
Eventually, it will get to a point where you have to have money to do this and be successful.
I don't know. I mean,
and then people who want to just do it for fun don't have the,
you know,
you either do it all the way or you don't. You know?
Because the people that want to do it for fun are going to do it anywhere, right?
Maybe not, because what you're
arguing though basically is that the quality bar will raise so high that the average person can't join in there anymore.
Well, I don't know about the quality bar. I just think that like the ability to have exposure on the Steam Marketplace and other things
that's a whole another can of worms.
It all turns into like this money game.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So your ability to reach people, saying, would be impacted.
It's what's going on in the App Store. Like you have to be
right.
You know,
but see, Steam doesn't work that way, though. Steam
is
not. They don't take money for placement.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's all on their own. you know, magical mystery tour. Their algorithm, whatever they do.
Take a game
someone
like
please teach me.
Take a game like Game of War, Fire Age, which has commercials on all over the place.
That's not Steam, though.
It's not Steam, but still, the reason that game is so popular is because big ass money came in.
Big ass titties come in. That's why that game is popular, man.
Also
come
true.
On, play, my lord.
Also true. Came in and made that game popular.
All right.
And that could happen. You introduce money into the situation, and right. then it just gets dirty, and then
yep, we get in the dirty side of mob. But Valve, like, there was a shitstorm.
They walked back quickly.
And so Gabe got on, did a quick AMA, asking anything. I thought made actually some good points about, hey, if this is already costing Steam a shitload of money right now, just in the fact that it's a shitstorm.
Yeah.
And I kind of read that as, listen, if ultimately this is something that people are so pissed off about that people are going to make this much of a ruckus, we're going to not do it anymore, which is exactly what happened. But I want to try to explain it anyway, which he did try. Mm-hmm. Shitstorm still went on, and like I think the next day or 2 days later, basically, Valve shut it down, and so did Bethesda. Basically said, listen, we had the best intentions. The feedback hasn't been clear. This is not a feature you want. Your support is everything, and we hear you. So shut it down, and it shut down.
You know what's going to happen in the future? They're going to have that shit from the jump,
from the start. The
jump,
yeah.
They won't try to shoehorn in paying for something.
You know, and you get into like a weird gray area because what if the next Elder Scrolls game, you know, has more hooks for that makes it moddable or has tools
like,
that's like
we made it better. We made it better for you because
you start to
give
get
us a cut.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, see that game. There's like so much the mods for that game basically improve it.
Yeah Thomas the Tank Engine Dragon reskin makes the game.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's some like of them, all of the graphical improvements, like
people
mod improvements.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it a really new game.
Like
right?
You know, there is on
are
the
they
plus side,
it's a special case.
Purposefully make a shitty game for people to mod and improve.
It's only the case. I mean, the game is not finished, and you need to wait for mods to
gonna
the
sell
right
their own mods
things.
To their own.
They
game.
Did that already. It was called Morrowind.
Yeah, Morrowind, Oblivion, even Skyrim.
All right, so. Also burning up the internet this week. Finally, the other shoe dropped. No surprise at all to, I think, any of us. But
yeah,
sad,
well,
sad,
there was
just
a little,
the same.
There was a little hope that they would at least try and keep going with Del Toro involved.
No, I knew this was this was in the cards. So Silent Hills officially canceled. PT even taken off of the store, which is doubly sad. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Silent Hills would have ended up being cool, but PT was
like
freaking
so
awesome.
Yeah. I'm so sad.
And now you have people selling PS4s, trying to sell them on eBay, I should say, with PT downloaded to it, which, hey, that's a legitimate thing now. If you can't get it any other way, I mean, I don't think you're going to get $1,500 for it like they're trying to, but. so, yeah.
I got these Secret Wars comics.
There you go.
Death of Superman.
The Beyonder.
Konami released a similar statement to what they did
Jonas reappeared.
I'm just Metal thinking Gear. The thing that would have been smart for people to do is just make a bunch of PSN accounts, like 50 of them, download it on all of them, then just sell the PSN accounts. Why are you guys sell PS4?
That's true.
Like, people could have had, because you could just re-download.
Where were you 3 days ago?
I know, I could have retired.
So
1,500 a piece.
That's right.
Basically, it sounds very similar to the statement that they put out about Metal Gear, where they're like, we're committed to new Silent Hill titles.
Pachinko.
which could qualify in this statement.
There was a thing that came out today that are like financials, and it was like percent change in growth from year over year, and it was like console games, like 10%. Pachinko, 99%.
Well, that's
like
where the money's coming.
Pachinko. Pachinko parlor.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, maybe they're just inflating that number because they're like, you know, laundering money for Yakuza or something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't believe
that. None of us on this podcast subscribe to that theory.
Like, how the audience for Pachinko cannot be growing.
No,
he's
it is
only
definitely
dying
not.
Now,
Pacheco
right?
Is insane. Are you kidding me?
I mean, like, but it's got to be like kind of a static thing, isn't it? It doesn't like it's not like new innovations for Pacheco, man.
There are younger kids.
Pacheco is like,
but it is a mostly elderly,
and growing, and they're getting more.
See, I saw a lot of that when I was in Saitama.
Yeah,
but I don't see it like here in the city.
No, the profits for those guys in Sega, the profits for people doing Pachinko, maybe they're getting more effective at wringing money out of people, but it's just going
it's gambling
up and up and up. Yeah. And there's not less pachinko parlors. You don't see, it's not like arcades where you see pachinko parlors shutting down.
My city only has
one. You see them moving closer to the station, you see them getting bigger. Mm.
It's called Marmy's.
Crazy.
There's a big one in the Shinagawa station, and they have someone dressed up in the, like, in the costume, the bear costumes.
Oh,
whatnot,
yeah.
You know, the kurumi or whatever. And like dancing. Like the whole time. I'm like, damn, it's got to be like the greatest job in the world. So much exercise.
Yeah. No, pachinko.
Speaking of Kojima.
Konami doesn't make games anymore.
Speaking of Kojima, there's this head transplant guy that nobody knows what the hell to believe. I think it's hilarious.
The guy who's getting a head transplant.
It's funny because they came out and they said the model for the doctor in the trailer was this guy who I think I said on this podcast.
No, they didn't say it was the guy. It was Some people are guessing that it looks similar to this guy.
Right. He's a British guy who is kind of like an actor slash talent in Japan who looks like this doctor who's doing a head transplant.
He's an actor talent in Japan.
Oh, no, so I guess you didn't know what I was talking about.
No.
Somebody on Kotaku, there was an article.
You need
and they came out and said that the model for this doctor in the trailer was modeled after this kind of famous, actually, British guy who's a talento here in Japan, slash actor, Navi Time guy.
You've seen
that
him
guy?
On...
The Navi Time guy.
Yeah.
Really?
He's also on Sekai Banzuke, which is a show that they bring on foreigners to talk about their homelands. And he's on there, and he's like the angry British man who like makes fun of everybody.
Wait, he's British?
Yeah, he's British.
Okay.
Navi Time.
All right. Square Enix.
I didn't know he talked. I just thought he put on a little race car suit,
and green and white.
Took 300 yen from you every month.
Square Enix, everybody has to have a press conference. John, are you going to have a press conference? Q Games going to have a press conference at E3?
Nope.
No? Are you sure?
Yes.
Electronic Arts, Bethesda's having their own. Of course, Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft,
Ubisoft. We are indie, man. We can't do no...
You guys are kind of like king indie. You're like a high-tier indie.
Sorry. We are not up there with the other... We got no money.
I heard it here first.
Go buy our games.
Final Fantasy 15. demo complaints addressed one by one. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, did you see the FF15? Like the guy, the talk they had, and the guy talking about the SE said that the girl was too sexy.
No, I didn't see that comment specifically.
They thought she was too sexy, and they're like, she was not meant to be sexy.
They're like, she's a very outdoorsy auto mechanic, and then which sounds like one thing in your head, you're like, okay. And then you see the picture, and she's wearing like a tiny bikini.
Well, he said that they like. SEE said the girl's too sexy, but they want to have a girl in the party.
Yeah,
and then they said it's a contradiction. Like, we can't have a girl.
Can you possibly have a girl if she's not sexy?
I like to think that the car is a girl, and the car is the party member.
Yes.
So there are girls in the party. She's just the car.
They would call her in an English translation.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
So there we go. There's our female party member.
I do think it's interesting. They actually
plus one for feminism.
Take that, Gamergate. Very progressive by Japanese standards to actually sit here and go through complaints like. It's too monotonous. There's a lot of bugs. Yeah. Basically, like, the unvarnished bug list, like, despite whatever spin they try to put on it, it's kind of a neat thing that they actually addressed all those complaints.
My theory is that they're just going to keep updating the demo until it's a full game. And then right before they flip the switch, they'll make you pay $59.99.
We talked about
D4. It's kind of like FF14.
Yeah, a little bit.
We talked about D4 coming to PC now, somehow.
Thanks, Obama.
Somehow our way.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
He put the hashtag, I don't think he knows. I don't think Square knows
Square tweeted that. There's a new Mana game and like a reinvention, which I was happy to hear because there have been many, many new Mana games over the years.
Some pretty bad ones.
But the next like mainline one, which I guess the last one was Dawn of Mana for PS2, aka Seiken Densetsu 4 in Japan, coming on the 25th anniversary.
Mobile game?
Well, they haven't said that, but God willing, not because...
It'll be a web-based free-to-play game.
Well, because before this, and I want to make sure I get his title right.
Like the new Saga.
Producer Oyamada-san said that he would like it to be on something that the fans have been wanting it on for home consoles, but
that's not confirmed.
So that makes sense as a 25th anniversary. It'd be really nice return to a perfect opportunity to actually return to form.
Yeah,
and that fucking series needs a reinvention, a return.
That real time strategy game for the DS was weird.
That was a terrible, weird
fucking game.
Marvel announcing a new video game partnership with. Surprise! Telltale Games.
How many people work at Telltale Games?
A lot more than did 2 years ago. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I feel like right now they just have a formula, and you can just pay them to put your characters in that
figure?
Formula.
Yes.
And they're like, "Can you please put my character in your fancy formula?"
Hey, my IP formula. Yeah, like we haven't figured out how to make it fit video games. Just doesn't matter. Just fucking give us the IP. We'll make it happen. The Assassin's Creed creator has his own next game, Ancestors: The Humankind Odyssey, which is not
That's a lot of words.
Like a very much like a Bravely Default title, but these are not Japanese people that came up with his name. I just want to be clear. Ancestors: The Humankind.
It does sound like a Japanese title, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
It's French Canadian.
It sounds like the like cell phone version of Bravely Default or something.
There was one of those, though.
Skullgirls Second Encore coming to PS4 and Vita this summer.
Cool.
New features. Wow. Friends of the show. Cool to see that happening. That's very cool. Again, it supports PS3 versions of Fighting Sticks. And people are apparently giving Star Wars a second chance these days.
I think that Star new Wars trailer Battle kind Front. Of erased all the bad taste from the prequels.
But people are still seem kind of skeptical, and I think rightly so, about what the game itself is going to look like. Because why do you do a trailer like that if the game is going to look like that, even though it says, like, in-game assets or something? Yeah. Like, what does that really even mean anymore?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I'm impressed with that. That was quick.
Try.
Yeah.
When we start getting late, we have to start going through stuff a lot faster. What do we need to talk about that we haven't talked about? Were there any? Oh, the Bloodborne guide is out.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, we got a box of them, and it's a pretty fucking sweet. It's a tome.
It is a huge.
As I've been calling it, it's not a book. It's not a strategy guide. It is a tome.
It's over 500 pages.
Something you will leave to your grandchildren.
Yes.
Have you been using it at all?
I haven't been using it, but the day we got it, I went home and I flipped through page by page, looking at all the
500.
No, literally, just sat there on my couch, ignoring my wife as she's telling me about her day.
Screaming children, unfortunately, with their heads on fire,
and I just was like,
throwing the Wii controller against the wall.
That's right. You're trying.
That's what happened.
Smashing the Wii U controller.
That's when it happened.
Ignored.
No, but like you know, there's a lot of stuff in the game. A lot of stuff that isn't explained in the game. Like, enemy names.
And so enemy names, but bigger whole systems of the game.
Yeah.
I saw like a Polygon article basically saying like, oh, hey, we just learned from the guide. This is a month after the fucking game is out.
Yeah. Well, the guide was supposed to come out.
A friend of the show who's plugged into the system and like, it's like, oh, this is how this works. Nobody really knew except for the guide how that shit works. So they do have some good stuff
for Beast Pellet.
Is that okay
for Beast Mode? It's a weird thing, but
it isn't. The whole thing about these games is like the communal knowledge of everything, and like that's part of the experience. Mm. Finding out from other people how things work.
It is weird that like. Systems that are so basic in other games are so completely esoteric in this game. Mm. Like, I still don't know how I feel about the fact that I want to say probably about halfway, maybe not two-thirds, but maybe like three-fifths through the game. That's right where I'm at right now. And I'm like just now seeing guys using magic. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what, there's magic? How does magic work? Oh, what the hell is going on with magic?
Marky Mark.
Are like, oh no! Yeah, second playthrough of the game, that's when you figure out magic.
Like, no, that's not true.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
I think it's because a lot of people don't invest in Arcane, and that's why.
Well, yeah, because what reason do you have? There's
explanations. Arcane, at the beginning of the game, you can look at all your stats at any time, but it increases the damage of your items and stuff like that.
But I still, to this point in the game, do not have any item that lets me cast a spell.
Yeah, you do. Molotov cocktails. Those are technically spells. Yeah.
The damage from the Molotov cocktail.
I can be a wizard.
Molotov cocktail.
I'm a fire wizard.
Tonight, a Molotov cocktail damage is changes depending on how much arcane
you have. That's fine.
That
is explained. I don't consider that magic.
That is explained.
But this is not the magic that I'm talking about. That is in the game, but that I do not have.
So this is my beef with these games that hide things.
You
right?
have, like, a, you have
I'm 35 years old.
This is of all the things in this game. This is one of the things.
Dig into your game.
This is one of the things that is definitely not hidden. You get an item. It has an arcane requirement. You use it, and it is a magic spell.
What? Like what? Like a fucking Molotov cocktail?
Well, that's
the most arcane thing about that is the lighter.
That's the one thing. But then there are items that you get that can make you warp, or like there's like an item that makes you explode.
All the items that I have now, even if they might have been something like the Molotov cocktail that says, "Hey, raise your arcane and it will do more damage." That to me doesn't say like there's magic in this game.
No,
like,
no
fucking spells like Dark Souls.
No, that's what I'm saying. There are Dark Souls-y spells
in the second half of the game.
They are items. No, well,
yes,
depending on how you play the game, but.
You don't
you guys
have to
play Bloodborne?
No, I'm just saying, of all the things to complain about in the game, that one is very clearly spelled out compared to others.
It is not
it
at
is.
All.
It is. If you just open up, you get an item, you look at what the item does, right?
Yeah, but JJ, what I'm saying is that there's not, like, if up until halfway through the game, all I've seen, all the items that I've seen that said, hey, boost arcane and it will boost this effect, to me says, okay, well, fuck it. That's not worth it. I'm not going to boost it. But just
you
now,
don't know that, though.
Just now, things are suddenly starting to be introduced where
if
it's
you
like,
just spent
actually,
your time
if you
boosting
building
it,
up arcane,
if you just read, if you just
half,
read what it says.
No. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, like,
do you hear the words?
It is like, you don't think there's, you may not think that there is a benefit to doing so, but that's your hangout.
I didn't say that there was no benefit to increasing arcane at all. You're putting
explained.
Words in my mouth. I'm saying this.
It is explained. It's like having a weapon.
You're
you,
not
you
listening
have a sword.
To me, JJ.
Okay.
The things that
say what
the game
say.
Says that increase.
Shut there.
The things that
freakish
the game tells you,
games.
If you read the items that are.
John, we got to take Lil D off the. We got to take Mark and JJ off the wheel for Lil D.
Yeah.
Because this couple is not working.
The game does not make it apparent that magic is going
to
be worth it in the first half of the game. You should just admit it.
You just know, because if you look at the items there, they clearly right. scale
you're
to
wrong.
A certain kind of damage, like any sort of other
just
weapon
like
in the game.
Right.
You're like, every
shirt aren't warmer
oh
than
my
short
God.
Sleeve.
No, that's, I didn't say that, Mark, but anyways.
All right.
If you look at the fucking item, if you look at the fucking items,
yes,
it will clearly say that an item scales with a certain kind of damage,
it
just
does.
Like any other weapon in the game.
We agree on that.
And if you want to play
not
that way,
that.
If you want to play that way, you can totally play that
yep.
way. That is
if
how these games operate.
Molotov
you have stats.
Guy.
You have stats.
Yeah, you can be that guy.
Anyway,
man,
it's just not. It's not
I got
just Molotov.
Of these.
Guys.
All right.
Yeah, now
I'll
you guys are being dense
on you off. I'll explain this to you off air, but that's not. We're not disagreeing on that point. You're not getting what my beef is.
Well, yeah. Anyways, keep going.
Keep going.
Let's go.
What
I got
else?
My wife's
so anyway, that's favorite. A very long way of saying you should get the guide.
Yeah.
If you want to have talks, more talks like this with your friends,
yeah.
You should get this guide.
Yes.
And she maybe you can win the arguments.
There is a nice interview at the end of the.
Is there? Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really interesting.
It's yeah. I mean, we helped them out with that interview. Yeah. You know, they edited for space and content and things like that mm-hmm. and from controls.
Yes.
A lot of that stuff. But I think we got some good feedback on it. So
it was a thing.
We're just happy that the.
I think you did.
The book is out there, and the book is really nice, super high quality. Those guys, friends of ours. A Future Press, obviously we're biased, but that is a fucking really nice book.
It
so
is. Just to have it, like even
yeah.
if you,
it is truly like a collector's item of the game. So, anyway, I think that's gonna about cover it for this show.
Yeah.
Who wants to tell people where they can find us?
That'll be me.
Okay.
We have a website, 8-4.jp. Our second home, giantbomb.com. There's always a thread on NeoGAF. We have a Facebook. Just search for us on A4Play. Check out Rogue Legacy on PlayStation 4, Vita,
that's
PS3,
right.
if
yes.
you're into that sort of thing.
Especially if you live in Japan.
If you live in Japan, especially. and, yeah, it's only a couple more days before the PlayStation Plus
deal is over. So
that's right here in Japan. It's on PlayStation Plus right now. It was that a few months ago in the other territories. Yeah, but you don't have PS Plus for Japan.
I do, and I doubt.
Good time to get it.
Let me think. Anything else? Oh yeah, we have a Facebook. We have a Twitter at 84play. My personal one is SPRSK.
At Mark MacD.
To my Kuri.
At Sarapods.
At Porkins.
Porkins
with a zero.
With zero and a one.
With a zero for the as the Star Wars character.
Yes.
You excited about episode 7?
Yeah. I'm excited.
How many times you watch that trailer? Honestly.
Twice.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. You are busy. Mm. Very busy man.
I try not to get myself into in a fervor about anything.
After episode one, you're like, nah, never again.
Yeah. And plus I'm a stoner, so.
Right. Never get too excited about anything. All right, and let's see, until
a stoner without weed in Japan.
2 weeks from now, check out Nom Nom.
Check it out. It's $9.99 through early access. You can see us at nomnomgalaxy.com. Follow us on Twitter at @pixeljunknews.
Or check out the PlayStation version coming soon.
Or check out the PlayStation version coming in the next 2 weeks.
Are you guys talking about Vita at all? Thinking about any of that stuff?
We had to cut the Vita version.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, Vita peoples. You can still play Monster Hunter Frontier.
There you go. There you go. Let's see. Yeah, so thanks again for listening, John. Thank you very much for coming on. Come back. Yeah. Maybe you should come back around Bit Summit time in July. If you're an indie listening, definitely check out that site. It'd be cool to see some
bitsummit.org.
Bitsummit.org. Yeah, in July, Kyoto. Kyoto's a nice place. You still love Kyoto, right?
I wish I could live there.
Yeah. I guess that's about it. So until 2 weeks from now, John, why don't you take us out?
All right, it's ATL Homeboy here in Japan, representing with 84, and we out. It is bitch. Peace.
Just let your soul glow. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul.